much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Yeah, open your mouth.
Yeah, but you.
Open your mouth. Listen. Just right down here. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Right there.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
What's up, Kevin and Dean? This is Dewan from Los Angeles, California. And I'd like to tell you something. The 90210 girls, those three girls need to shake their booties. They need to shake their booties. Because I like them. They're awesome. Booty-looking, too bootylicious. Later.
You know, he's a brother. With most brothers, you know how it is in this country. We got to struggle, man. You know what I'm saying?
What's up, Kevin B?
What's that all about?
16, 12, 1. Hello. Hello. In a male mother. Too much information and...
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Don't bogart
that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We're like living deja vu all over again.
Roll another one.
This is a mess.
Just like the other one.
Those balls are sensational.
This one seems to be about to quit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Make money promoting sin.
Roll. Roll another one.
Omar Khan facing 69 felony counts.
Just like the other one.
My balls are no longer proportionate to my wang.
It ain't natural!
I don't have another cent.
Oh, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the wolf in the hunt.
Just pass it around.
These girls, man, they're getting on my neck.
All right, sober up and try to listen to this.
And now.
Do fat people repulse you?
Yes.
That answer is true.
Our feature presentation.
Ralph.
Yeah!
Mother effing Garman.
Woo! So that happened.
Ralph Garman.
Yes.
Is in the studio,
he
Ralph.
He is. This is my part of my new... my new contract where I work 2 Fridays out of every month.
I like it.
Yes.
Can I get that?
Nope.
All right.
It's a special deal.
First of all, great to see you, buddy. Second of all, how was your vacation?
you must have had a huge vacation.
Woo! I'm exhausted. I'm not quite sure what I did. But it took its toll.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that happened.
You lost probably a couple of years at the end of your life, but you're
but
here.
They're the crappy years
the
anyway.
You'd be pooping yourself and all that anyway.
You don't want those.
No.
No. By the way, whatever decline you've suffered in the last month, Ralph, Kevin has paced you. I mean, I'm telling you, thank God you're back because he may not make it through the end of this month the way he's been
What's
going.
What's wrong
I don't
with
know
him?
I don't know if you've been listening or not, but we've lost Kevin.
No, I haven't had a chance to listen too much. We've been mostly running back and forth from to the hospital. But
I don't know what he's talking about. Let's talk about Ralph.
But I was sent a clip by a listener who said this might cheer you up, and it was Kevin doing a total dibble on a motorcycle, just racking up. Just crashing hard.
Yeah,
I said, well, next time he bitches about going to the back doctor, how he needs to get some help, I would say, don't ride motorcycles and crash on them.
Yeah, it's weird. I didn't hurt my back, but I broke my left butt cheek. Well, not sure that's possible, but I think I did.
By the way, speaking of the listeners cheering you up, the impression I got from the posts that we put up at kevinb.com are that they almost literally are the only thing that pulled you through was the love and support that you got from friends and family over the past few very difficult weeks for you and your wife.
Absolutely. It was remarkable. And, you know, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show. But it was a lifesaver. and everyone who sent your emails and cards and gifts. And it was just, it was an amazing outpouring of support and love. And there's much appreciation on my part. So I will never be able to thank you enough, but thank you.
We're going to take your phone calls, by the way, on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. Or if you want to talk to Ralph, you can call, too. Get on the air and get a prize. How's Olivia doing? What's the latest this morning?
Well, that's why I'm kind of happy to be back for a lot of reasons. First of all, it's just good to be back and doing something else other than driving to, from, or staying in a hospital.
Yeah.
But the good news, the only reason I'm able to be here is because she is finally as stable as she's ever been so far. And that's good news, you know. She had a heart issue, she had lung issues, she had gastrointestinal issues.
She was born 2 months early?
2 months early, yeah. 31 weeks. And as of right now, everything seems to be good, operating at least at an acceptable level as far as the doctors are concerned. So hopefully the worst is over. I mean, she's still in an intensive care unit, so, you know, it can only be so good. But she's going to be there at least for another month. But we're hoping that it'll just be her getting stronger and getting better and on the mend, and all the emergency stuff is behind us. So I feel I can come in and spend a couple hours with you guys before I go to the hospital.
Have you ever been cleaner in your life?
No, sir. They make you scrub up. It's like going into surgery. Every time you walk into that wing, you have to. They strip you naked. They hose you down. It's like going to prison, basically. They delouse you. It's like Silkwood. They scrub you down with a wire brush. It's very exciting. So.
When I watch the doctor shows, you know, whether it's House or Nurse Jackie or any of them, I'm always amazed at the people who choose that for a living, where you literally make life and death decisions that if you're not right in a minute, you lose.
Yeah, they're impressive people.
It's incredible.
The staff over at Cedars-Sinai here in Los Angeles, where we have our baby, they are, believe in God or not, but if there is a God, these are the people who literally are doing his work. Just couldn't be kinder. On top of being professional and smart and junk, they are just sweet, sweet people. And I will tell you, when we lost our son, the entire staff came up to us at some point in the next week, weeping. Hugging us, just could not be more sympathetic and more as emotional as we were, because they felt like they had had a loss.
They're invested in their patients, and you might not expect that because it's their day to day life.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
They meet some of these families for a few days at a time, and then there's another family in the lobby. So how invested can they get? But it does sound like they are the kind of people who take every case personally.
Yes, and I'll tell you, Olivia is getting extra special care because of what happened with us with our son. So they're really very careful and very cautious with her on every level, and I'll tell you, as a parent, that's what you need. You kind of appreciate that, because we live in a state of perpetual panic most of the time.
I'm sure, terror.
It's just exhausting. So it's kind of nice to be here and not be there for a couple hours at least.
Exactly. Well, we're so excited to have you back, and we really
are
excited.
Well, wait till I do a showbiz beat or two before you make that decision, because I have no idea if I know how to do this anymore.
It's going to be better than mojo. It's going to be better than whatever's been on the air the last 3 weeks, I'll tell you that. 1-800-520-1067. Time to take your calls on any topic. Toll free, give us a call, get on the air, get a prize. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
And today it's the legendary and maybe not even real Kevin Bean t-shirt. That's what we're handing out for being on the air. And we'll start with John. He's calling us on line one. Hey, John, welcome to the show. What's going on?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
All right. So I don't know if you guys saw the 200 and 201st episode of South Park, but the censorship of the word Muhammad is driving me crazy, man.
Well, yeah.
They were threatened. That's the problem.
Here's the thing. They were making fun of everybody that they've ever made fun of. So in these particular episodes, like, for example, Jesus looking at porn.
Right.
Buddha doing lines of coke.
Tom Cruise allegedly being gay.
Sure.
Yeah.
But then they mention Muhammad, and they start making jokes about how he can't be seen by human eyes, which, by the way, seems to be accurate. But they had too much of a joking tone. So they did get threatened on a website, a Muslim extremist website, which gave out their home addresses.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And they said, and so Comedy Central, I guess, took some of the stuff out, in the next one. So, who knows?
It's just kind of ludicrous.
Wait, ludicrous was in that episode?
I didn't think he was in that.
Guys, I was surprised because Comedy Central has always supported Matt and Trey and not censored them and just rolled with the heat. But maybe, who knows, maybe this is coming from them because they value their lives in junk.
Maybe they don't want to be blown up.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I would think it's not just people complaining. I mean, if people are literally saying that you're going to die and putting their your address on their website, I mean, that's...
Comedy Central does have an anti-fatwa policy. I know that.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a case, though, of allowing the terrorists to win. I mean, I know that was kind of a catchphrase during the Bush administration, but this is exactly what this refers to, is you let them change your way of life based on how extreme they are. Yeah. So I understand why they did it, but it sure doesn't make me happy, I'll tell you that. Thank you very much for the call, John.
Well, maybe we'll just give Bean's address to the Muslims to see how then he feels about it.
Want to put that up online?
Yeah, let's see how brave he is then. Okay, oh, I'll die for a cartoon.
Radio DJ Bean says he'd like to make fun of Muhammad. He has that right.
Antonio is on line 3, changing the subject rapidly. Hi, Antonio. Uh-huh. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do? Hey, listen, I got a cousin of mine. We went home, they have two dogs. They have a pit bull, which is his.
Right.
And a Doberman, which is his mom.
Right.
And they're separated. So the pit bull is only allowed to be in the backyard, which is, and the Doberman is allowed to go in and out, get fed table food, you know, get pretty much babied, you know?
Right.
And so we go home, and we're met in the backyard door by the pit bull. So we just start panicking, like, all of a sudden, because he's not allowed to go to the front door. It's fenced off. Sure enough, this pit bull dug a hole from one end of the side of the fence behind some milk crates and ended up on the other side. Doberman was dead.
Wow.
Yeah, Doberman was dead. So then we had to call his mom and tell him that her cookie is dead. But she leaves home work early and says, this dog needs to get out of here. It doesn't want it anymore.
Hold on a second. You lost me here. I thought we were having a happy story about a dog digging under a fence. Did the dog kill the Doberman?
Yeah, the pit bull killed the Doberman.
Oh,
the pit
dude.
Bull
killed the Doberman. Yeah. But that's not the end of the story, though.
Oh, please let it be.
We'd rather it was.
They called called the pound. Well, he called the pound to get rid of him. He wants to turn him in. So we're all gathered around, and he's saying, like, yeah, you know, I got to turn this dog in.
Right.
While he's saying that, hits the dog over the head with his own chain. Bad idea. Dog snaps on him, grabs him by the forearm. My cousin's a pretty big guy, so he just lays on top of him. And mom calls the cops. They call the ambulance. Yeah,
and everyone lived happier ever after. Okay, thank you very much, Antonio. We appreciate the call. Oh, my God.
Welcome back, Tom.
Too much information.
This was a complete disaster.
It was.
That was
That story had everything.
It did. That was a mildly confusing story to begin with.
Yeah.
Told poorly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it certainly could have been a 30-second story, too.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What do you
That's
got?
That's the way it is. That I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
There's a gay softball league, Ralph, and some bisexual guys are very upset that they can't play. Very upset.
They can play half the time.
They can't.
No?
No. Oh. Apparently they can't. So we're going to talk about that. We got Dave Duchovny on the program today, talking about the Joneses.
I'm not familiar with that project.
Me either. But apparently they have great taste in cars and clothing and everything else, and so companies start to try and use them as models, so
like the barometer of hip kind
move
of thing?
Into a neighborhood, so all that neighborhood will all want that stuff.
Oh,
kind of
I
thing.
See.
Jeffrey Ross on the program today. We have Damon Albert, of course, from Blur and Gorillaz on the program today. We have Harrison Hommel, which is the only thing I care about.
It's the only reason Ralph's really here today.
He is the commissioner and the spokesman and the president of the Moorpark College Quidditch tournament.
Quidditch is the fictional game played by the fictional Harry Potter?
Correct, where they fly around on brooms.
On brooms,
catch
right.
That little gold thing that flies.
But he's got an actual league?
Yes, he does.
Well, if his broom doesn't fly, I'm going to stick it right up his ass.
Right. Those are the two options.
That's right. I'm going to go there, and if I watch a match and there aren't flying brooms, he is going to be sodomized.
Do we demand he change the name or just sodomized?
One or the other.
All right.
He changes the name or he provides actual Quidditch. But I'm telling you,
the
mood I'm in, the month I've had, I will kick his ass.
I'm tired of him.
I'm looking for somebody's ass to kick.
We have Adam Carolla in as well.
Yeah.
With This Week in Rage. And Mr. Movie Phone will be doing the movie beat.
What?
Ralph Garman. Oh,
what?
Well, sorry, you're here.
You?
And Ralph Garman will be taking a look at the movie beat. So that's coming up today. We got the Showbiz Beat, and that's next.
For the first time in a long time, the Showbiz Beat, the way it was meant to be done, ladies and gentlemen, the return of Ralph Garman.
Oh, thank you for that applause.
It wasn't very powerful.
For that
but
smattering. I guess that would be called a smattering. Good to be back, boys and girls. And I am not going to make a big deal out of this, but I do want to mention, and I will be mentioning at every Showbiz Beat today, my thanks to all the listeners for, literally, I got thousands of emails from you regarding the loss of my son and the health of my daughter, and she is doing better. And that's why I'm able to be here today, and hopefully I will be from now on. And I want you to know how much I appreciate the support and you sharing your own stories of loss and the love and the prayers. It was much appreciated, and I read each and every one of them. I want you to know that. I didn't get a chance to, obviously, to respond to them, but I did read them all, and they made more of a difference than I could possibly ever tell you. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. But now let's make fun of rich, famous, good-looking people, shall we?
All right.
Speaking of rich, Forbes magazine has released their list of the world's richest fictional characters.
Fictional characters?
Yes, the 15 wealthiest fictional characters. I don't know exactly how you would figure this out, but apparently Forbes calculated it by taking the estimated character's value against real-world commodity share price movements. You know, my old job.
Sure.
I used to do that. Anyway, here's the top 10 richest fictional characters. Sir Topham Hatt.
What?
From Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. He's worth $2 billion, apparently. Thurston Howell III from Gilligan's Island.
Sure.
Is worth just a hair over $2 billion. He's the ninth on the list. The Tooth Fairy is eighth on the list.
What?
Well, because he gives all those kids all that money. So if you extrapolate that out, I guess you have to figure out how much money he has in order to be able to give a kid, you know, a buck for an incisor or something.
Dumb.
Seventh on the list, Bruce Wayne. Batman. Seventh. Okay. Suck it, Forbes.
I was thinking that would be in the top.
That's what I'm thinking, but no. Apparently, Adrian Veidt of The Watchmen is above Bruce Wayne at number six. Jed Clampett from the Beverly Hillbillies is fifth. Tony Stark, Iron Man.
Sure,
from
that
Marvel
was
going to
be my guess. Yeah.
Fourth on the list with $8.8 billion net worth. Third, Richie Rich. The cartoon character Richie Rich.
It's in his name.
Mm-hmm. It's in his name.
You know?
Scrooge McDuck was second. And the richest fictional character, according to Forbes magazine, and they would know because they deal with a lot of rich people, Carlisle Cullen of Twilight.
What?
$34 billion is what he's worth. Cullen.
I never even heard of that character.
I don't know who he is.
Who is Carlisle?
It has to be Edward's dad, right?
Edward's dad, okay.
Maybe it's in the books and not in the movies. Maybe if you had read the books. Maybe if the traffic broad was here, she would know.
Yeah.
Did you guys fire her while I was gone?
We did, yeah.
Oh, that is sad. I feel bad.
Or she's on vacation and she'll be back Monday.
Oh. Either way.
Congratulations to Amanda Peet. She gave birth to a daughter on Monday night. She was supposed to be on the David Letterman show, but an early appearance by her daughter Molly screwed that up for her. And I'll tell you, these kids will screw up your life, let alone the, the David Letterman appearance.
You know, things are going to be different.
Oh.
Are you aware
of that? Life's going to change.
Yeah.
Your life will never be the same. Yeah, so congratulations to Amanda and her husband, screenwriter David Benioff. This is their second child, so congratulations. Speaking of children, Lindy Lohan is in the news. Her father, Michael Lohan, called the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department yesterday and said that they all needed to go over Lindsay's house for a welfare check. Apparently,
can you do that?
He convinced the county sheriff's department that his daughter and his 16-year-old daughter, Allie, were in peril. And they all showed up together to Lindsay's house to check to see if they were okay.
And?
And Lindsay was thrilled.
Oh, I'm sure.
Beyond words.
She loves that kind of attention from her father.
Apparently, according to TMZ.com, Dad wasn't pleased with the news that Allie, his 16-year-old daughter, was hanging out partying with her big sis, Lindsay, and wanted to check up on them to see what was going on. So he convinced authorities to head over to their house. This was on the heels of rumors that the two were driving at the speeds of over 100 miles per hour on the way back from the Coachella Music Festival.
But listen, that's a long drive.
You really want to get
really,
home fast.
That's...
You can blame him for that.
Yeah.
And apparently they showed up, and Lindsay was not happy. Mom, Dina Lohan, also unhappy, saying her ex-husband is dangerous and worries that he will hurt their children.
Wow.
So the family is as functional as
I hate all of them.
Yeah. Did you see her at Coachella when you guys were out there? See Lindsay?
Did not.
Apparently she was hanging out there.
No, I did see.
No, I do not know.
Alessandra Ambrosio.
Oh, I heard a rumor to that effect.
Yeah.
You were partying with the Victoria's Secret mom.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
She wanted me.
Was Psycho Mike there with you?
No, he wasn't. He was turns
not?
Out.
No, he was not. Unfortunately, I was not at that party, but Kevin did leave me 14 voicemails to let me know what it was like hanging out with Alessandro Ambrosio.
That's great.
Because it's a burn on him. I'd like... So I'm talking with Alessandro. I'd start messages like that and just leave them for him all day. So, good times.
You say, I'm talking to Alessandro. Were they more like that?
No, they weren't. How dare you?
Have you stopped partying yet, Kevin? Are you okay, buddy?
No, the problem is that I've...
This is the best he's sounded all week by far, Ralph.
I'm just the problem a little surprised.
Is, the problem... I'm not drunk. Although, you know, all evidence to the contrary.
Okay,
but
then what?
The Kings have been in the playoffs. I've gone to two home games this week, and I've been screaming. So my voice is completely just...
And you're a little tired.
Besides the normal, and I've got zero sleep, So, but besides that...
So your team hasn't won their first series yet? They haven't won their first series?
Let me see. Oh, F you!
Because my team's already waiting around.
No, it's 2-2.
For people like you
to
get your S together so they can play the next round.
No, I don't know if you heard this or not, Ralph, but when your friend Kevin Smith was in last week or the week before...
Devils fan, Kevin Smith.
Right. Number one Devils fan. He said, you know what? I'm all right if the Flyers win at that point. In support for you. That's how much he thinks of you. He said, I'm all right. I'm all right to see Philadelphia win this one.
He is a sweetheart.
I thought, wow.
I did text Kevin... that Olivia was a big Flyers fan.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How can you tell?
Well, because she came out black and orange.
Okay. Throwing punches?
Yes. So he texted me back. He said, given her current circumstances, I will forgive her puzzling choice in hockey teams. Which I thought was kind.
It's just your team makes it to the playoffs, which is the goal, which is something you've sat through an entire season to wait for. And then when they lose in the first round, man, does that hurt.
Well, you know, the Flyers got into the playoffs on a shootout of the final game of the season.
Right.
They were playing the Rangers. It was a tie game. They had to go to a shootout, and they won that shootout. It's the only reason they got into the playoffs.
Wow.
So this is all great.
There's some pressure.
Quite frankly. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dev Patel, which is an excellent spread that you can put on rye bread.
Very tasty.
It's delicious. Actually, no, he is the actor from Slumdog Millionaire. He is 20 years old today.
Wow.
Kid's been in one of the biggest movies in the world. He's just 20 years old. Actress Jamie King, actress and model Jamie King, is 31 years old. Wrestler John Cena is 33. Cal Penn is 33 years old as well. Valerie Bertinelli celebrates her 50th birthday today. Not too shabby for a 50-year-old.
No. Just ran the Boston Marathon last weekend, by the way.
Here's some chocolate, Fat Joe.
No, she's not fat anymore.
No.
Craig'd it. Now she's got her bikini body.
I know.
Michael Moore, who also has his bikini body, by the way.
Yes, he
filmmaker does. Michael Moore is 56 years old. Actress Joyce DeWitt, who starred kids in a show way back in the day called Three's Company. Provided a lot of entertainment to a lot of people.
My grandpa being one of them. I was always disturbed. He would always watch Three's Company. I knew it was for the chicks.
Oh, yeah, look at that Chrissy.
And he was old at the time, you know, even when that show was on.
Not that old, apparently.
Oh, man.
He's still fire in the furnace.
He loved that show.
He is.
And I'm Buzz.
That's right. Buzz Aldrin loves that show, too. Joyce DeWitt is 61 years old today. And comedian George Lopez is 49 years old today. I know I vowed I would not watch American Idol any longer.
Right.
But I was at home the other night, desperate for some entertainment. And they had on their big Idol Gives Back marathon show.
Right.
Which I figured I'd watch and donate some cash to and you know, feel a little bit better about myself. And George Lopez came out and did a chunk on judging the judges.
Of American Idol?
American Idol.
Yeah.
Maybe the least funny 5 minutes in the history of television.
He's not...
Funny?
Funny.
No, he is not.
That's what you're looking for.
He does not possess that skill.
No.
Which, as a comedian, you would think would be a hindrance.
Yeah.
And yet it has not slowed up his career one iota. So, congratulations and happy birthday. George Lopez, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
One of my favorite guests that we've had on many, many times over the years joins us again later this hour to talk about his new movie, The Joneses. I'm talking about Dave Duchovny. He will be here. Dave and Alburn from Blur on the program today. And Gorillaz, of course, Jeffrey Ross, Adam Carolla, and the return of Ralph Garman, including the movie beat. That's if you don't mind me saying so, that's a pretty action-packed Kevin and Bean show.
Yeah, comparatively.
I'm fairly impressed with that. I don't know how it's all going to go down. I don't know if I'll still be happy with it at the end of the show. But right now, looking at it from this angle, it looks pretty good.
Let's talk about a gay softball team, if we can. Actually, a gay softball league. This is a strange story, but in 2008, a San Francisco softball team came to Seattle, hard to believe, to compete in the Gay Softball World Series.
The North American Gay Amateur Athletic Alliance, Kevin, listen to this, has more than 680 teams in 37 leagues across the U.S. and Canada and has been around since 1977.
Wow.
Pretty well organized and has been running for a real long time. But you got to be gay to play, apparently.
Correct. So this team named D2 made it all the way to the championship game, and then things went south. In the middle of the championship game, play was stopped on multiple occasions because another team said that D2 had beaten in an earlier game, protested because they said that they were using bisexual players.
All right. Now, I have many questions about this story, including why this is just like when laws get passed and then they have to be ruled constitutional or not after they've already been on the ballot and voted for. Why do you wait until you're in, you know, the fourth inning to challenge this? If you've got a problem with players, isn't that something you bring up before the game?
Well, you would think, but according to this story, this is a team that had already lost and was sitting out.
Okay.
They weren't the team playing, so they had an axe to grind, but they did question it during it. And apparently the rule is that there can be no more than two heterosexual players per team. So they do allow two. But after losing the game, five players from D2, and here's my favorite part, were brought to a hearing where they were forced to answer intrusive questions about their sexual orientation and private life in front of a room of about 25 people.
So they had to prove how gay they were.
Is there anything you'd like to do right now that could prove to us how gay you are?
Right. But, I mean, what's the right answer for that? If you're going to be on a gay softball team, are they saying that you have to be 100% gay all the time? Or that you had to have never had a heterosexual experience? I mean, if you're a gay dude and once a year you have a girl who's a friend of yours that you have sex with for fun, does that mean you're no longer gay? I mean, where do you draw this line?
I don't know.
You know what confused them really was that both these guys were pitchers.
How does that work?
Yeah, if you're a pitcher, you can play for almost any league. If they had been catchers, there would have been no question. They would have been passed right through.
That's true. Yeah. Each player was interrogated. A panel voted on whether he was, quote, gay or not gay.
I'm not bi. I'm just a switch hitter. It's a baseball term. For corn's sake.
Was it that the play was too athletic on the field, and that's what made them think, hey, wait a minute, we got some ringers in there?
I don't know. I don't know what what made them do this, but the committee refused to entertain the idea, by the way, that the players could be bisexual. They're either gay or they're heterosexual.
Trust me, there's a big sort of double standard in the gay community where they don't tolerate bisexual
people. That's not a part.
No.
Even in existence, or they just don't like them?
No, they just say
they don't believe
bi people that claim to be bisexual are just gay people who haven't gotten comfortable with themselves
yet. I see. Okay.
By the way, we're going to take your phone calls if you want to weigh in on whether the ruling was correct, by the way, because the guys ended up being kicked out, right? They ended up losing.
Yeah.
And that's why they're suing for $75,000 apiece.
Right to the showers. We'll be in shortly. You are out of here.
The committee ruled that they weren't gay enough and stripped them of their second place medal, trophy, whatever it is they get.
That's not all they stripped them of.
So we'll take your...
I call them pickle.
We'll take your telephone calls if you think they should have been kicked out for not being gay enough, or if you think the fact that they're bisexual, which means they're doing stuff with dudes, ought to be enough, as I do, by the way, to enable them to be able to be eligible to play in that league.
I think if a gay softball league wants to be in existence and say that they don't want any heterosexuals, I'm fine with that. You know why? 75 million other softball leagues. Go play one of those. They have to force their way into this one.
But where do the bi guys go? Where do the bi guys go?
They probably have bisexual leagues, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Maybe these guys, though, were too gay to play in straight leagues. Did you think about that?
Too gay to play in straight leagues, but not gay enough to play in gay leagues. That's
right. Story of my life.
Wow, that's really stuck. All right, so what do you think? 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number, and we will take your calls now.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, finally Friday, talking about the North American Gay Amateur Athletic Alliance. Kevin is going to be going to their conference next week on his vacation. They have been in the news lately because three San Francisco area men have sued because they say they were thrown out of playing softball in the league because they were bi and not gay. And by the way, Kevin, when we were talking, we're going to take your calls, by the way, if you have a thought on this, on whether that was the right call or not, at 1-800-520-1067. When we were talking about this off the air, you were saying, and I think this is generally a pretty legitimate opinion, which is private company, let them do what they want. No reason for...
That's how I feel. If they want
to
if they want to have a gay league, let them have a gay league and everyone go somewhere else.
But isn't it kind of like a black softball league saying, you're a little light-skinned for us. We like our black people darker.
You know, it, like, isn't it splitting hairs, really?
That is a good analogy, because these people do have sex with the same sex.
Right.
I mean, they do gay things. They just also have sex with women, too. So why, I mean, you're right, Ralph. I mean, it does, it is splitting hairs, very much so.
Hmm.
And the way that the attorneys for these three guys get around the it's a private company is they say it's actually played on public softball fields, and it's a league that is open to the public. Anyone from the public can go and apply to join the league.
Right.
They're not employees at a company, for instance. It's a public softball league. And that's why they're saying they feel like they've been discriminated against because of their sexuality, which is against the law.
If this was a pro-gay team, then they would have a point.
I don't know. I
just, professional gay sports.
Well, let's leave the Raiders out of it.
Oh, that's mean.
So the most fascinating part of the story, as we were describing a few minutes ago, is these guys had to go in a room with a bunch of people and be interrogated in public about how gay they were.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine what kinds of questions they must have gotten.
And this was, I think, after the game had been played. So they were going in, like, after the series ended to see if they could keep their title or not, or second place or whatever.
An asterisk, a big gay
yes.
asterisk next to that win.
Yes. So the K-Rock microphones were there, and this is how it went.
Your Honor, this man's clear-cut heterosexuality is a personal affront to me and an affront to this league as a whole.
Okay, Counselor. But I'm going to need some proof.
All right. What exactly is the name of the quarterback on Glee?
Oh, that's easy. That's Steve?
No! No! And what exactly is your favorite Streisand album?
That's the Black Album.
Not gay!
All right, finally, put your finger down your throat. Look at this man's gag reflex! This is clear-cut evidence! You are not gay enough!
Straight! I've heard enough. I hereby sentence you to 6 months of ill-fitting jeans, a mullet, and you're gonna have to wear Affliction t-shirts.
No!
Accept your punishment, straight boy.
That's
unfortunate.
We missed you a lot.
Was there any acting police who showed up in the courtroom at any point? Did they have another hearing after this hearing? Bring them up on charges of horribly overacting?
I'm saying we could have used your help.
I'm just saying.
That's all I'm saying. Bob Marley on the world famous K-Rock at 6:37.
Why can't we get Bob Marley on, by the way? We get lots of musicians on the Kevin and Bean Show. Why is he stiffing us for an interview? What's that all about? Speaking of great musicians, by the way, Damon Albarn joins us from Blur and Gorillaz coming up next hour. First, though, very excited to welcome back to the program the star of Californication. I believe Mr. Duchovny won a Golden Globe for his portrayal of Hank Moody on that show, and he is in a new film that is opening up this week called The Joneses. Dave Duchovny joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Duchovny.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
How you been, Dave?
I've been great. You know, I was having fun holding there because sometimes you forget how great Bob Marley is, don't you?
You do, yes.
Yeah, that's kind of my point is, how about some new music? You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I mean, it's fine to rest on your laurels and all, but every once in a while, go back into the studio, dude. That's my point.
Okay, I'm not going to play that game.
Well, I was going to say, what's Dave supposed to do with that, really?
So, Dave, it's always great to catch up with you on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I think you finally figured out the way to make it work in show business, to do the kind of series like you're doing on the Showtime, where it gives you plenty of time off to either do movies or not, but kind of have a life, rather than be, you know, a full-time TV grind 10 months a year like you used to do.
Well, that's exactly right. When I got off the X-Files, I kind of thought that I wasn't ever going to do television again because of the quality of the work, but because of the intensity of the schedule and just the time commitment of doing 25 episodes a year on a network. And then cable came up, you know, in 2000, 2001, doing these shows that are 12 episodes a year and really giving a lot of creative freedom, and it just became kind of a perfect match for me.
It does not feel like 12 a year, honestly. Californication, which we love, it seems like you guys do like an episode every 3 months. Just can't get enough of that, but I guess it works for on your end.
It's like we're conditioned to expect you know, 20-25 episodes, or anything less than that feels like a miniseries.
That's true. Yeah.
Exactly. So what do you do? I mean, you have a lot more free time. Obviously, it takes some time to make a movie like The Joneses, but what do you do with the rest of your time? You just you being a dad, spending a lot of time with those little kids?
Being a dad, and I've been writing a lot the past couple of years, I've been writing in script form things that haven't been made. It may never be made, but I haven't done it. So I've been kind of looking to write and direct more as well as acting.
Oh, that's exciting.
Your phone is unfortunately cutting out a little bit, so let's get right to the Joneses and tell us about that movie.
Well, the Joneses is it's this great premise. When I got the script, it was this this idea that there are these stealth marketing cells in America and around the world of these kind of families that are cast like you'd cast a movie as not real families, a fake husband, a fake wife, fake kids. And they're put down in these neighborhoods to conspicuously consume, to drive the great cars, to have the great golf clubs, the great clothes, the sneakers, everything.
And then everyone in the neighborhood wants it?
Yeah, and then all the neighbors start to want exactly what the Joneses have. So they keep track of sales that way, and then they when the sales have gone up of certain items in that neighborhood, then they move on to the next neighborhood.
That's a great idea for a movie because it's not that far removed from the reality of an endorsement where you pay a celebrity to wear a watch or a hat or a T-shirt or something like that because people copy people that they admire.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Did you know Demi Moore, who plays your fake wife in the movie, before filming this together?
No, we'd never met. I'd never met Demi, and I had a really good time working with her. We kind of understood in the middle of this premise of this stealth marketing cell, there's also these fake people start to have real feelings for one another. That's kind of what starts to happen as they're marketing their stuff. The man starts to feel something for the woman, and he starts to feel something for his fake kids. And so Demi and I were very focused on making sure that this love story in the middle of this great idea was going to work, even though we didn't have that much time in terms of time on screen to make that work.
Right.
That's interesting. And Demi's husband's about the same age as your kid, so you guys had that in common.
Exactly true.
What do you keep asking questions like that for, Bean? He's not going to be able to comment.
I'm just clattering around.
What's wrong with you?
She does seem like she is such a nice lady, though, and would be fun to do a movie with. I mean, she just seems like one of those people that's super easy to get along with.
Extremely straightforward, and maybe you don't always hear what you're going to hear, but you always know it's the truth. And those kind of people, as I get older in my life, those are the kind of people that I'd much rather deal with than will tell you what you want to hear all the time.
Yeah, exactly. It also seems like people in Hollywood or in the showbiz world are the opposite of that. For the most part, it seems like they always say what people want them to say.
Well, I think to me is, you know, she's been an actress for quite a while, and she's been successful for, you know, I respect people that continue to work in the business over a period of years, and I think I can't speak for her, but I think after a while she has figured out a way that you know, being truthful and honest and forthright is the best way to navigate.
Right.
This is the voice of our friend Dave Duchovny on the phone. We're talking about his new movie in theaters called The Joneses. Hey, one more question about the film, Dave, and that is you had a first-time director on this movie, which a guy like you who's been in, you know, show business for a long time, done some directing yourself. Did that have any special challenges, or were you able to make it work pretty well?
Well, he had written script, Derek Bort, and so when you've written a script, it kind of doesn't make you a first-time director because you have a whole movie in your head very, very specifically. So Derek was, he directed a lot of stuff before, not a feature, so he wasn't completely innocent, but he was great and very collaborative and allowed the man and I to have ideas, and he would take the good ones and throw away the bad ones. It's fun to work with a lot of different kinds of directors. People that have done tons of stuff are sometimes tired, and people that are doing their first, they have a great amount of energy and inspiration and hope, and that's fun to work with too.
Good times. All right. The movie is called The Joneses, opening up today. Don't forget, Californication is coming back later this year with Dave Duchovny in the starring role. Always great to catch up with you on The Kevin and Bean Show, man. Have a fantastic weekend.
You know what? I love that you call me Dave. You're like the only guys, and it makes me feel young.
Can we call you Davey?
Good, like David and Goliath.
Right.
TV show.
All right. Thanks for coming on today. We appreciate it.
All right. Bye now. Thank you.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 6:53.
What about Ralph Garman being in the studio today? What about Ralph being here?
You can't do an impression of yourself.
While I was gone, Bean had to take up doing the Bean impressions?
Yeah,
is that what happened?
So. Yeah. Well, you weren't here, Ralph. Welcome back, man. What's going on?
Thank you very much. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I do want to mention at the top of every showbiz beat this morning to try to reach as many of our listeners as possible. Thank you so much for all the emails and cards from all the listeners who were just so kind and so filled with support and love, and I really do appreciate each and every one of them. And I read every card and every email, and it meant an enormous amount to me to know that so many people cared. It helped me through a very difficult time the past month, and I just wanted to say thank you, especially to the folks here at the show, because Kevin and Bean and Alex, our producer, and even the bosses here at the station and the people who run the show around the country, to a person, were all enormously supportive and kind to me and gave me the best gift anyone could have, which was the time to be with my family during a very difficult period in my life. And I appreciate that, especially when I would be in the intensive care unit with my daughter and see guys who could only run in for 30 minutes because they were on their lunch hour because their bosses wouldn't let them take any time off, or they had taken all the time off they could, and then they had to go back to work. And I had the luxury of having some very understanding people say, go, do what you have to do, we'll be here when you get back. So I really do appreciate
we're beaten up. Don't
you
get
sound
us wrong.
Like an unbelievable douche.
I know.
We're beaten up. I mean, we didn't come through it well, but we did our best.
You did fine, and thanks to everyone who filled in during the showbiz beat and took care of my baby while I was gone. So it's good to be back, and let's shake off some of the ring rust and see if I can still go a few rounds with these celebrities. What do you say?
All right.
South Park creators Matt and Trey are talking about the censorship on Wednesday night's episode of South Park. If you saw it, you know that there were irreverent depictions of Jesus on the show. He was watching porn. Buddha was snorting coke. But all references to the prophet Muhammad were bleeped out or covered up with the word censored. This all came after threatening messages against Matt and Trey were posted on a New York-based Muslim extremist website. Now, Matt and Trey have said that Comedy Central decided to alter the episode without their consent. So they had nothing to do with the decision to censor those references. They said that the final speech given by Kyle in the episode was about intimidation and fear. Didn't mention Muhammad at all, but it still got bleeped. So
what?
They're not too pleased with Comedy Central's behavior on their behalf. So this will this is not over, I'm guessing. There'll still be some fallout from this event, but
the fact that this website had their home addresses on it, though, that
scary.
That's a little scary.
It's very scary. Look, it would be different if I think Comedy Central was bowing to some sort of economic pressure, if they were planning to boycott their sponsors or something, and they did this. But the threat of actual physical violence, I would have to say, I mean, I'm a big First Amendment guy, but I would have to say maybe sometimes you have to say, is the cartoon worth running the risk of someone actually getting hurt over this?
Is that cartoon South Park?
Yes, it is
in this
particular case.
It's worth it.
So if Matt and Trey, if they're eating C4 later on, you don't care as long as the episode airs?
I'd rather they didn't.
Yeah. But. All right, speaking of television and controversies, does broadcast television advertising have a stereotype when it comes to larger plus-sized women? I don't know if you heard about this story or not, but Lane Bryant. Are you familiar with the Lane Bryant stores?
Women's clothing is all
women's
I know.
Women's clothing that caters to the plus size.
Oh, okay.
They've got a commercial they want to run on television, which is for their new lingerie line.
Nope.
Cacique. And the commercial.
Wait, nope.
I'm glad Kevin is already.
Wait. Did you say plus size and lingerie?
I did, sir.
No.
Yes.
It's
Kevin, there's nothing wrong with this woman in this commercial. Believe me, there's nothing wrong with it.
It is features a young woman who is in their new lingerie line getting ready for what looks like a nooner. It's a lunch date with a fellow where she just puts on a trench coat and just goes out in her underwear, and it's a very sexy commercial. Lane Bryant is claiming that ABC and Fox banned the commercial from their primetime lineups because she was not the Hollywood perception of what a woman in lingerie should be. They're claiming that Victoria's Secret has commercials like the new Naked line that they've got.
Which is softcore.
Yeah, which is really
the best ever.
Pretty erotic.
Yeah.
And runs during primetime. These commercials have been banned from shows like Dancing with the Stars and American Idol, according to Lane Bryant. And they are claiming discrimination against larger size women.
I'm going to tell you that I think the networks are terrified of commercials that have too much boob in them. I think if you have a smaller-chested woman in lingerie, it's far more likely to be allowed on television in primetime than a woman with bigger boobs.
It's true. I have seen this commercial, by the way. And this girl, if this is plus size...
Sign me up.
I mean, yeah.
She looks great.
She's a plus-size model. She's a stunning woman who happens to be heavier than Eva Longoria Parker. You know what I mean?
But we're not talking 350.
No.
Okay.
No. This is not Leonard Nimoy's book. This girl is a stunner, and she has giant cans.
Oh, so you think that's a bra.
So I think Bean is speculating, perhaps, it makes them a little nervous to have these giant hoots in a bra bouncing around at 8 o'clock in the evening.
Giant-size cans.
So anyway, Lane Bryant is claiming discrimination and getting some publicity for their troubles. So I'm sure they don't.
And by the way, Dancing with the Stars, the show that ABC won't put the commercial on during, meanwhile has Pam Anderson in an equally revealing outfit with giant cans dancing for 40 minutes on the same show that they won't run the commercial during.
Pam Anderson?
Yeah. So what's that about?
Yeah.
The right decisions.
I know you guys call her a monster, but she looks pretty good this season.
She does.
Dancing with the Stars.
You
have called her a monster.
She went through a monster period.
Well, she still does if she doesn't.
That's not what I meant. She went through. That's not what I meant at all. She went through. Sorry, my voice is going.
Cookie Monster?
Sorry. Maybe I should speak less.
She still looks bad when she doesn't have any makeup on, or doesn't wash her hair or comb her hair, wears her wife beater, and, you know, looks like trailer trash. But when she is made up, she cleans up spectacular, I think.
All right.
Anyway, story is that she's banging her partner on that show, Damian Whitewood.
Of course.
Damian Whitewood. He is her dancing partner, and reportedly, they are now knocking boots.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome if you were a dancing coach on that show and they said, okay, you're going to be, you know, and they pointed to everybody and they said, you, Pam Anderson. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
You, Kate Gosselin.
Right.
No! I know I gave up American Idol this year.
Don't.
But I sort of picked up Dancing with the Stars.
Are you kidding me?
The wife likes it, and I will do anything to put a smile on her face these days. So I've been sitting down watching it. I've actually been quite enjoying it.
I'm not. I don't care what you did the last month. I'm saying in the future.
I'm kind of invested
now. No.
This Jake from The Bachelor. Jake.
Oh, wow.
His partner, Chelsea Hightower. Damn.
Chelsea Hightower.
Private Eye.
Wow.
Pretty hot.
Don't replace that show with the other one.
I'm just saying. Movie night was fun.
Oh.
Erin Andrews as Uma Thurman from Pulp Fiction.
Come on, man.
Dancing?
Stop it.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Dev Patel. He is the actor from Slumdog Millionaire. He is 20 years old today. Actress and model and one of my co-stars of Two for the Money, Jamie King. Celebrates her 31st birthday today. We worked together, Jamie and I.
And by co-stars, you mean she was in it?
Yes. And I was.
We met her at the premiere.
I don't think she even showed the premiere, quite frankly. Wrestler John Cena is 33 years old today. Actor Cal Penn celebrates his 33rd birthday. Valerie Bertinelli is 50 years old. Filmmaker Michael Moore celebrates his 56th birthday. Joyce DeWitt from Three's Company is 61 years old. And comedian George Lopez. He's 49 years old today. Have you ever seen George Lopez's late night show, Lopez Tonight?
No.
No.
You will be stunned. You owe it to yourself to watch an episode.
Because it's bad?
Because it makes Drink, Paint, Run, or whatever that show was on public access you love so much, look like an Emmy Award winner.
Really?
It's horribly done and horribly not entertaining.
But he's Mexican trying to fit into the white man's world, though, Ralph, and that's confusing for him.
All right, then. I'll give him a pass. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Little band called The Gorillas headline night number 3 of this year's Coachella Festival in front of something like 80,000 people, or however many were left after a long weekend. And we'll talk to Damon Albarn from the band Gorillas and a little band called Blur, you may remember, coming up in about 25 minutes or so right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. In the meantime, poor Rihanna, who I love, by the way, not just because she's so unbelievably hot, but because I like her records. I think she's really, really talented. Can't catch a break, though. One thing right after another. Nothing but trouble.
This past Monday night, she was taken to the hospital after her concert in Switzerland, MTV News found out. She was rushed to a private clinic and had been seeing specialists for a, quote, undisclosed condition. But other reports said she was treated for a broken rib and released.
Ouch. Ouch.
Broken ribs, I don't know if you've had them, but ouch. They hurt like a mother.
Well, it only hurts when you breathe.
Yes.
That's the good thing about broken ribs, right? We're lucky enough to have a relationship with Rihanna, and I believe we have her on the phone with us right now. Hi, Rihanna. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, my
I don't know why we talk to Rihanna. We're always excited, and then we remember, oh, wait, we don't understand anything she's trying to tell us.
Do you have a broken rib?
It's a righty cumba, I be aching, man. Go no so that it's a pankai to. It's a red on when I see the spy. Oh, make it, make it, oh.
I'm going to put you down for a yes, then. Can you tell us what happened? How did you injure yourself?
Oh, man, what's going on with this? You got to dance in, man. It's a shake of the thread. It's a really light, man. What's called Rappatan Kaito to bo? What's come? Bo.
I don't,
We had better luck with Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Rihanna, the first thing I thought is, what's going on with your carnival, Rihanna?
I'm sorry, man. Me steel drum player had a stroke.
It didn't seem to stop pretty regularly.
Oh, he's better now, man.
All right, good, good.
The first thing I was afraid of when I heard you'd been to the... Is there any way you can turn the steel drums down? Is that possible?
Omar, can you not be playing the steel drum so loud,
wait,
man?
Wait, who?
It's me, steel drum player, Omar, man.
Omar, isn't it?
It's a
The first thing I feared when I heard you were in the hospital with broken ribs is that somehow you'd gotten back together with Chris Brown. But that's not the case here, right, Rihanna?
Don't be making a joke about the situation. I was going to say you're a second.
Listen, we would like to find out a little more about your situation. Do you have a personal doctor there?
I got me Dr. Conrad Murray, man.
Dr. Conrad Murray.
You want to be talking to my doctor, man?
Please.
Conrad
Murray, that's the same doctor who's going to be on trial for killing Michael Jackson, isn't he?
Hey, dude, what's up?
Conrad?
Is this Conrad Murray?
Yeah. It's happening.
Well, you don't sound like... I mean, we've talked to you lots of times on the show before. You don't sound like this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, man, what's that be happening to me? The rocket of
really?
How's Rihanna?
Good man, who's just taking the hospital like a rasta to work on the island style, you got a tangai, Utungo, double clot man.
It's quite.
Me said that chicken head cover out that screw face, I rock a tampunto.
Okay.
I contest with I lime man style.
Bean, I'd like to vote that we've gotten what we're going to get out of this.
I believe
no,
I've...
No, man, because I take the coconut, I put the lime in it, I shake them both
right.
up.
All right.
Thanks, doctor. Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, that means the Movie Beat next hour. Also, a visit with Adam Carolla and The Week in Rage coming up. And Damon Albarn from Blur and Gorillaz in just a few minutes. Hey, Ralph Garman has returned. You've been hearing him on the Showbiz Beat the last few minutes. There's a question I've been dying to ask you for the last 3 weeks, Ralph.
Don't. Yes. Whatever it is,
first
don't.
Of all, welcome back. What? Why don't?
You.
Why
just don't
do you
trust
say
you.
It like
I
that?
I just don't trust you in general.
Because you're dangerous.
You're bad.
You're dangerous
not
in
at all.
Situations.
I'm a big fan of yours, and I consider us friends, Ralph, and I hope you won't mind, and I hope this isn't too personal, but it's something that I've been dying to know, and that is Donovan McNabb is a Redskin?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Since my life wasn't bad enough.
That is weird. Those of you that don't follow, to trade somebody that high quality to another team in your division is nutty. It's unheard of.
It was a shock and a surprise to me, and I didn't hear about the news until days after it actually happened, and... yeah, I was stunned.
That's bizarre.
I was stunned.
Usually they'll trade him to anyone that's not in your division. Anyone.
Well, here's the deal. Apparently, this was not Andy Reid, the coach for the Eagles, call.
Right.
And he's got a great relationship with Donovan.
Right.
And that's where McNabb wanted to go. So Reid sort of greased the wheels to allow that to happen because he wanted him to be happy.
That's great until they come back and beat
Philadelphia. Look, they're going to regret that choice twice a year. He's going to have motivation to kick their ass. But listen, it's going to take a lot more than Donovan McNabb to make the Redskins good.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
But I mean, but literally, God forbid, but next season, the Redskins could be the reason the Eagles don't make the playoffs. I mean, if it goes terribly wrong, that could happen, right?
There's a lot of reasons why they might not make the playoffs. Yeah. Starting with Kevin Cobb and whoever they started running back. I mean, you don't know. Westbrook's gone, and McNabb's gone, and it'll be an interesting to see. Look, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I hope that this new kid, Kevin Cobb, turns out to be the second coming of Joe Montana, and I hope they're wildly successful, but I wouldn't have traded Dunham personally.
I felt so bad for you, like you said. Like, you didn't have enough bad things going on in your life during that time to have your favorite player in your favorite sport on your favorite team be traded away to an arch rival. That is low.
You know, it's amazing how some things will put the rest of your life into perspective.
All of a sudden, that didn't matter so much?
It did not really matter to me so much when I got that news, and still doesn't, quite frankly. But things have shifted.
Until September, and then you go, what?
Yeah. Now, you know, I hope. I hope I can afford to get passionate about things like that again and put some of this behind me.
We like to imagine that people listen to us and pay attention very closely, and right. It turns out they don't at all,
That's
ever.
True.
So, I mean, even up through yesterday, we were getting, hey, where's Ralph? Is he on vacation? So you might want to just, if you want to catch everybody up and kind of tell them what's been going on.
Real quickly, I've been missing from the show. It's almost a month, I guess. I've been on a couple days. Today was one, and I was on a little while ago. My wife had our twins prematurely on the 26th of March. And the twins were about 2 months premature. And so they go right into what they call the NICU, which is the neonatal intensive care unit. And about 10 days later, we lost our son, Lincoln, and our daughter, Olivia, is still currently in the intensive care unit. And so I've been pretty much attending to my family and being with my daughter because she has been struggling. She had some heart issues and some lung issues and some gastrointestinal issues. So we really have been sort of preoccupied in just kind of doing what we can to be by her side as she's been going through all this. And luckily, she is as stable as she's been as of yet. The past couple of days have been taking a real good turn. So I was able to sort of feel comfortable to come back to work and try to laugh again and try to make give some people some smiles, too, and see if we could get back to a little bit more life as normal. But I wanted to ask the guys to give you a chance to thank everyone who sent so many emails of support and love. And it was remarkable to me not only to see how many strangers, frankly, you know, could be so kind and to be so forthcoming with their support, and also to realize that what we do here in the morning makes a difference in some people's lives. That was surprising and amazing to me that people would say when they were going through a tough time, some bit that I had done on the show or some voice character or some showbiz beat gave them a smile or a laugh.
And it's a Wheelo Bad Animal voices, normally.
It was playing,
that's the one.
It was playing, playing a drunk gay panda that made their life worthwhile. No, they would have a moment that would make their life a little bit easier, and I never kind of put it in that perspective before.
But we don't see ourselves that way.
No.
We can't imagine that that's the case.
We come in here, we punch the clock, we do our job, and we go home, and sometimes you don't recognize what's going on the other end of the broadcast. And it made me feel a little bit better about what I do for a living and what we do here on the show. And I am thankful for that lesson learned as well. So
that's
everyone.
A turnaround, because before you left, you hated this job. Now it sounds now you've come around.
I didn't hate it.
You hated.
Sometimes I would go through periods where it would feel a little frivolous at best and meaningless at worst.
Oh, it's still that's still the two extremes. That's still true.
I know that, and you know that, but the people who listen to our show, it is an important part of their mornings and sometimes their lives, depending on what's going on in those lives. And to me, that was a revelation. And I will not take this show for granted and what it means to people for granted again. And I recognize that it is a privilege to be able to come into people's cars in the mornings and to entertain them. And I respect that now, and I will no longer take that for granted. And I told my wife this last night, and I said, it's amazing, even in Lincoln's short life, how he could teach me an important lesson, and that's something I took away from it, you know.
Sure. Let me ask you one more question on that, because
I'm sorry for the crying part, but
no
it's become
fine.
A habit now over the past 30
fine.
days,
dude,
or so.
I don't know how you're alive, honestly.
I don't either. I mean, believe me, we don't blame you. They always say there are no atheists in the foxhole. Do you find yourself, Rob, even though you're a pretty outspoken non-believer in God, doing some form of praying to get some help in a situation like this?
This is a landmine. This is a minefield
You can plead the fifth.
And let me add to that, because just as you're talking about all the thousands of emails and cards and letters and phone calls and everything you got, all of those people were trying to do that. They were trying to put positive energy into the pot,
yes,
hoping somehow that that combined effort would help pull both kids through.
Yeah. There are times where you can't imagine there is a God who controls what happens here on Earth when certain things happen. You can't find any sense in some tragedies. And so it's hard to believe, you know? But then the converse happens where so many people come to your side and to your rescue, and you can't help but feel that there is a force greater than the everyday, the mundane that we live with here on Earth. And that force, I think it's love and kindness, and if that's God, then so be it. But I was blown away by not just the listeners, who were amazing, and again, I read every one of your emails, and I thank you, but not only the people here on the show who were amazing, but other competing radio stations. I was getting emails from other DJs and other staff members. All the friends of the show. From Dr. Drew, the very first condolence card my wife and I got was from Jay Moore and his wife, Nikki Cox. Kevin Smith, of course, but Joel McHale and Harvey Levin and all the people that we work with on a regular basis that have some sort of become friends of the show all went way out of their way to step up and to be supportive and help me out. And Seth Green sent over a big deli platter so we could eat, so we'd remember to eat, he and his fiance. So it was just a nonstop parade of people at their best, and you never really know how much you're loved until you're really up against it, and people really show up for you. So my wife and I just, we talk about how hard it was to go through losing our son, but also you can't help but feel blessed when so many people are by your side and are willing to prop you up and to do anything that you need, and we could not have survived this without all of you. And so our thanks go out to all our friends and family, our Kevin and Bean family, and our radio family, and all the listeners and everyone else. It's just been a tremendous honor to be on the receiving end of so much support and love.
Any other landmine questions you have, Beaner? Can we wrap this up?
Just Ralph needs to get in the other room and get ready to be the big gay panda again. That's all. Been a while since we caught up with our next guest, but it's always a pleasure to talk to Mr. Damon Albarn from Blur and the Gorillaz. They just headlined night number 3 of Coachella this past weekend. Let's welcome Damon back to the show. How are you, sir?
Good morning, and I'm really good. I've had a fantastic 2 weeks.
How was
the best 2 weeks I've ever had in the States.
Wow. Fantastic. I was going to ask you how headlining night number 3 was of Coachella. Must have gone quite well.
Well, honestly, that's the first time I've ever really played to a big crowd in America. And it feels good, man.
Since you closed the 3-day festival, you can now put on your resume that Jay-Z opened for you, Radiohead, Tom York opened for you, Muse opened for you. I mean, you're the big kahuna of the whole weekend.
Well, that's spinning it very, very kind of
right
in my favor. I don't think that's entirely true. But then again, what is reality?
Right, it's not true. Spin it, dude.
Spin it exactly. Now, are you still in the United States, Damon?
I am.
Okay.
Are you lying?
Are you ever going to be able to go home?
Well, I'm going home, I think, tomorrow. And, Joe, it's weird. It's weird because I went to Iceland in 96 or 97 and actually ended up buying a house there. And it's kind of, the last sort of few years since the sort of beginning of this wonderful recession, it's really kind of, it's been quite a sort of, influential place
Right.
For all of us, for all of us, amazing how a small island could affect everyone. So
yeah, no kidding. And a lot of your, you know, a lot of your contemporaries were not even able to come to Coachella because of the travel. This house that you have in Iceland, do you have a caretaker? You can't get there often enough to bring in the mail and mow the yard. Do you have a guy that looks out after it for you?
Yeah, I do, and he's called Einar, and he was in a band called the Sugar Cubes.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. That's kind of sad that he's now a caretaker for you.
No, he's not a caretaker for me. He just lives next door.
He's your nurse, right?
He's actually just about to become mayor of Reykjavik, which is the capital of Iceland.
No kidding.
He's far from being a caretaker, but... Yes.
All right. Let's talk Gorillaz for a minute.
I'll
be honest, Damon. When you came out with the first Gorillaz record, I thought, well, that's a one-off. That's something that he did for fun to go in a different direction than what we've seen. But now it seems like it's your primary living and breathing focus on musically these days. It seems like it's become a real band with real dates and real fans, and it seems like you're loving it.
I am loving it, and I was. You know, a little bit overwhelmed by the response on Sunday. I mean, it was really fantastic. So thank you all.
And you have the new CD, Plastic Beach, which is out now, featuring the song Stylo, which we just played a second ago.
Yeah, and a lot of other songs as well.
Sure, not just that one, right?
We'll definitely be hearing them in the weeks to come, that's for sure. Tell me how you hook up with a soul legend like Bobby Womack, who most of our listeners were probably not familiar with until they heard your song on the radio, but he's a guy who goes back 40 years with great records. How'd that come about?
I mean, you know, he used to be in the Rolling Stones.
Yep.
Most people would know Tarantino's work, though, wouldn't they?
Hulu. Sure. Certainly, yeah.
So if you know the film Jackie Brown, then you know the song 110th Street, and he wrote and sang that.
Fantastic.
But I guess my question was, how do you hook up with a guy like that? Is that a phone call you make out of the blue, or is he somebody you already knew?
You don't make a phone call. It's like a phone call to somebody who makes a phone call to somebody else, who makes a phone call to somebody else who... Makes a phone call to Bobby Womack's lawyer, then it comes back the other way, and then it goes back the other way, and then there's time difference, and then you're waiting around, and then nothing, you don't get any...
And scene.
I wish that hadn't just got out, but it sounded like we just lost it.
We did lose Damon Albarn, that's
true.
Talking about Gorillaz, Plastic Beach, we were getting ready to talk about the new Blur single, the first new Blur single in, 7 years or something like that they just released 2 weeks ago. We want to find out what's going on with Blur. Dare we wait a moment just to see?
You know what we could do is we could wait a second and see if we can get him back on the line, but we could play a clip from the new Blur single.
So, okay, great.
Fool's Day is the name of it. This is Blur in England is about as big as it gets. Just monstrous.
And even though they haven't put out records in recent years, they have maintained that fan base. I mean, they're still wildly popular. When they do those polls from Radio 1 and whatnot of the best bands of all time in Britain, Blur is always very, very near the top. This is the first song they recorded together since 2003, and they released it this past Saturday as a 7-inch vinyl single only in Britain. They only made 1,000 of them. None of them sold in America. But thanks to the beauty of the internet, here's a little bit of what the new Blur single, Fool's Day, sounds like.
Wake up straight, caught up by the sun. On the first day of April, out of bed. Lord, it was a plane crash. But I'm sure that I was dreaming. TV on.
Why, how come we can't get that?
Well, we can. I mean, you can get it online. It's very Weezer-y, isn't it?
Yeah, it really kind of is. I like it. That sounds unique. Oh, well, we're having trouble getting a hold of him. Oh, there he is. Okay, fantastic. Let's try this one more time, just real quick. Damon, hi. Hello, Damon. No,
oh,
Damon.
We're good. Ralph's going to turn around and drive back home. Yeah. He's going to say, I didn't get up for this.
Yeah, it doesn't. Phone system's not working. We apologize. So, anyway, the new Gorillaz CD, Plastic Beach, is out now. The new Blur single is called Fool's Day. Check it out if you thought that sounded good. I think you'll like it. And the website is gorillaz.com. And we thank Damon Albarn for coming on the program. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:57.
Dear Kevin and Bean, did that guy really disconnect, or did you guys boot him for being too stoned? Now, that's just not nice. The phones went down. We were very sad to lose Mr. Damon Albarn because we enjoyed talking to him.
Yeah, all right. Still broken, and we have things coming up in the next hour that we were hoping to use it for. Doesn't look like that may work.
Well, they're working on it behind the scenes. But we do have Ralph Garman in studio ready to take a look at the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
Does the Green Hornet suck?
Wow, yes.
That's the question people are asking these days. A lot of bad buzz surrounding the Green Hornet, a big comic book superhero movie put together by Sony Pictures, of course, starring Seth Rogen. Well, this isn't helping, this news. They have moved it from its prime holiday slot of December the 22nd, that's when it was supposed to be released, around Christmas time, to the hugely popular movie weekend of Martin Luther King weekend.
That's what they do with the big ones. Yeah. With the good ones.
That's when they put them. It'll be now held till January 14th. That's when the movie will be released. Now, Sony is saying, oh, pish. That is not the case at all.
Did they use the word pish?
They said pish and then added shaw on the other end of it. Pishaw. They said, this movie's great. We love it. We've never been happier with a movie.
Couldn't be happier.
The reason we're pushing it back on our schedule is because we're retooling it to be 3D, and we need more time to make the conversion. Because, as you know, movies aren't movies anymore unless they're in 3D. So Seth Rogen, in all his doughiness, will be seen in 3D.
I like 3D. I do, but there's a lot of movies, if they're not shot in it, where they just try to kind of up-convert it, and it never looks anywhere near as good.
It's a money grab. It's a way for them to charge $5 more a ticket, even though the movie doesn't look that great.
Yeah. Mm. So, I guess we'll have to reserve our judgment until it comes out in January, but it's interesting that Sony had a prime holiday spot for this movie reserved and then decided to push it back.
Although I would like to see a stun pumpkin coming right out of the screen at me.
That is the Green Goblin, not the Green Hornet, different. Okay, and so. I'm not going to explain this to you again, because really, you're just obviously not paying attention. The Green Goblin, a villain of Spider-Man, Green Hornet. A crime fighter.
It's who afraid along, of yellow.
Nope, that's the Green Lantern.
All right.
And now you're really just cheesing me off.
So if Aaron Rodgers throws a football, it looks like it's coming right to you sitting in the theater, right?
That is a Green Bay Packer and I'm maybe confused. The biggest stretch ever.
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 Yeah.
Ever.
Welcome back.
It's good to be back. 83% of all women find a celebrity more attractive than their actual boyfriend. According to a latest survey.
How is it not 100? How is it not 100%?
The survey was conducted by the Good Surgeon Guide. I'm not familiar with this publication.
Bean gets it.
But I would hope that all surgeons would subscribe, that some of them aren't picking up Bad Surgeon Weekly and reading that instead.
We struggle.
We would like good surgeons, all of us, I think. It is the national publication of plastic surgery procedures, and they claim that women, if they could, would like to style their boyfriends and make them look more like their favorite celebrities more than they actually
83% said yes. 17% lied and said no.
Yeah. Now, 40% said they actively style their boyfriend after celebrity, meaning they make them comb their hair a certain way or wear certain clothes so they can be closer to the celebrities that they actually would really rather be sleeping with. And nearly half say they care more about their boyfriend's appearance than they do their own.
Wow.
Wow.
That's not a good thing. Their boyfriends must not be doing the job. I know I'm not. I have terrible taste in clothes and I wear terrible clothes.
No.
So then I started listening
to
my wife and how she wanted me to dress.
Yes.
And it probably took me 6 months to realize she loves the way gay guys dress.
Well, that's the problem.
She loves it.
Yeah.
So she would dress me like that. I would go, all right, I'm done now. I'm dressing myself again. Sorry.
Yeah. My wife's the same way, only I won't go.
You recognized it.
Yes,
I did.
I won't go.
I was wearing vests and sequins and I don't know.
You were. You did rock green pleather for a while. I remember that phase.
Finally, I was like, wait a minute. I'm not gay and you want to dress me gay.
You said, damn it, woman. I'm a stripe man and a stripe man I will stay. And you've been wearing nothing but striped shirts ever since.
That's correct.
Because you got to know who you are in this world. That's all that matters. Michelle Bombshell McGee. She is a heck of a gal, isn't she?
She's great.
I find out about her, the more I like.
She's great.
She has told Life and Style magazine that she is willing to sit down with Sandra Bullock for a little girl-to-girl chat.
I'd like that to be filmed and put in the octagon.
She said, I would like to sit down with Sandra Bullock and let her ask any questions she wants of me, and I will be completely honest if it will help her heal emotionally. What a sweetheart she is. You know what would have helped her heal emotionally? Not banging her husband.
Not doing that. That's weird because it's also an offer that she knows she won't be taken up on.
Right, so. Of course. But it gets her more coverage.
Yeah.
And lastly, familiar with Burt Reynolds, legendary movie star Burt Reynolds?
Sure.
Awesome.
The only reason I tell you this story is because he has been trying to sell his waterfront mansion in Florida for 5 years now. He put the property up on the market five years ago. Has not been able to sell it.
That was before the whole economy thing?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, wow.
So you can imagine now, right? Yeah. It's even worse. Maybe the problem was the $6 million price tag he put on it. But now he is currently selling it for a little less than $9 million. He's knocked $7 million off the price if you want to pick it up. Apparently, it's quite a beautiful 3-acre estate. Problem is, of course, when you wake up there, you're still in Florida. Maybe that's a reason.
There is that.
But the reason I thought it was funny is because you get a private dock with the purchase. There is a movie theater on the premises as well, on the property, and a hair salon.
Wow.
And I was thinking, who needs a hair salon less than Burt Reynolds, who famously has been rocking a toupee for about 40 years?
Maybe they have to make it look good so it doesn't look fake.
He just sends his hair out to be done, and then they bring it back.
Do my hair. I'll be in a minute.
Yeah.
And they got to do this something with his mustache, too. So.
Yeah, that's
a lot
true.
Of work there.
It is. Apparently, he's got some big financial problems.
Ooh.
Yeah. I guess the longest yard with Adam Sandler didn't pay him that well. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dev Patel is 20 years old today. Actress Jamie King celebrates her 31st birthday. Wrestler John Cena. He's 33. He's also an actor, don't forget. 12 rounds.
Sure.
He's impossibly huge.
He is a big boy. Cal Penn is 33.
Hey!
George Lopez celebrates his 49th birthday. Valerie Bertinelli is 50. Michael Moore, the filmmaker, is 56. And actress Joyce DeWitt celebrates her 61st birthday. Come on, knock on my door.
File.
Oh, come on. I just got back. Can't put me in a file already?
Listen, I didn't say it, did I?
Man, I have a little sympathy for your brother.
You bring in jokes that deserve the file. They go into the file. It's automatic.
I guess that's only fair. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means Ralph is here with the Movie Beat in minutes. And next hour, how about the Week in Rage with Adam Carolla? Robert Pattinson back in the news. Listen to this quote.
He's the best.
He, of course, the star of the Twilight movies. I always think there must be more. I get angry because I think I'm missing out. I haven't been able to do my music for ages. I can't concentrate on two things at once. I don't even listen to music when I'm working on a movie. Rob Pattinson joins us here in the studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob, is this true that once again your only friend, the acoustic guitar, is tearing you apart?
Normally I can multitask in other facets of my life, but when it comes to music, it overwhelms me.
Let me ask you a question,
really
though.
Do anything else.
When you make movies, isn't there a tremendous amount of downtime? And couldn't you play and or listen to music during all of that downtime?
No.
You can't?
No, I wouldn't be able to show back up on set. If I start writing one song, I get so immersed in it.
I see.
I can't do anything else because it's my only friend.
It is your only friend, yeah.
You're 23, and it seems like you spend a lot of time complaining. That's kind of been our thing.
The only real response to that is F you.
Well, you said your recent quote was that you're holed up in a hotel room and you're with your only friend, your guitar.
That's true. I have my guitar with me here today. I came from my hotel room where I'm staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Don't give the room.
Room 636.
Why would you do that? You're trying to stay out of the public eye.
I don't want people to visit me, though. It's a burden. It's a burden to be Rob Pattinson. Don't visit me 636 Beverly Hills Hotel.
Okay. Then don't give out your room number if you don't want people to come visit. Is it true that you can solve problems through the power of your music? That's really when things become clear to you and you can help others.
It's very true. I don't really have the ability to relate to other people's problems.
Right.
In my everyday life, but through music, I'm somehow therapeutic, I find.
I see. So your music helps people heal.
That's right.
Would you be willing to give that a try? Could you help us with some of the issues that are going on in our lives since you're here with your guitar?
I'd love to.
Well, Rob Pattinson Sings Your Problems Away will be the name of this feature.
In fact, I have a little intro jingle for this.
Oh,
I just
so.
Told
Great.
You the name for the first time. How do you already have a jingle?
That's how good I am.
Okay.
Robert Pattinson sings your problems away.
Is that it?
I think so.
Okay. You think so?
We're expecting
No, it was
more.
Fully... Listen, it was fully formed. Don't get us wrong. That was great, but...
I think it's like that Haiti Relief album. It's a living entity. Maybe it'll change as I go. I don't know.
Okay.
All right, I'd like to start, Rob Pattinson, since you have so much luck with the ladies and you've got the Kristen Stewart on a string.
Yeah.
Maybe you can help me with something that's going on in my life. Do you mind if I ask you my problem?
Sure.
My beloved bride, Donna, is constantly trying to get me to go take tango classes with her. She's in a tango class, and she loves it so much, and she says, I really want to be able to dance with my husband. Won't you please come? Of course, I, A, can't dance, B, don't want to dance, and it has caused some real friction. What's
please
your advice
dance.
To me, Rob
please
Pattinson?
Please do that, Bean. Oh, God, please.
You're a gawky 8-foot queer bait. Just grow a pair and tell your wife to shut the F up.
That's not much.
That's your advice? I'm not sure that helps the situation, but okay.
Take that
Kevin,
one to the bank.
You got anything going on that Rob can help you with?
Well, I don't know. I mean, do you solve all problems? I'm clearly losing my voice from yelling at Los Angeles Kings hockey games. It's gone. What do I do for that? Maybe help me with that.
Stop letting men run roughshod over your throat area with cylindrical objects.
No, I was just
yeah.
I was just yelling.
I think we have time for one more. Psycho Mike, have you met Rob Pattinson? Maybe he can help you with your many, many problems that you're experiencing these days.
Hey, dude. To be honest, I work out a lot, and I really like to watch what I eat because I'm concerned with how I look, but I still have a hard time with my body image. I was wondering if you could help me out with that. All right. You're gonna have to take your shirt off for me.
Oh no.
Wait.
Possibly in my hotel room.
You know, man, I thought he was
this about?
Maybe
wait.
With some oil and poppers.
I'm sorry, did you say poppers?
Oil and poppers.
Oh, this is going to be a hit.
Oil and poppers. Come to my hotel room with your oil and poppers one more time. Oil and poppers. Oh. Oil and poppers. Good God, y'all. Oil and poppers. Muscular man I've never met before.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Rob Pattinson Solves Your Problems. Well done.
Rob Pattinson sings the problems away.
So it hasn't evolved yet?
It hasn't really evolved yet.
It's Friday. Ralph is here. It's time for the movie beat.
Nope.
That's a surprise.
Someone has been watching.
One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Ah, it's like I never left.
All right, now?
Now? Everything's just as I left it.
Do I hit it now? The music now?
No.
Okay.
We don't do this music during that, do we? It's been a while.
Yeah. We do.
This is the movie
music,
right?
I just did it wrong. I did it out of order.
Okay. Let's talk about the new movies in Cineplexes this weekend, shall we?
It's not like just getting back on a bike, is it?
No, it is not. Got to work things out. The Best Worst Movie is the name of a documentary in selected theaters this weekend. You may want to check it out. Interesting documentary about Troll 2, the sequel to the hilarious horror comedy Troll. Troll 2 has been called by IMDb and RottenTomatoes.com website the worst movie ever made.
Gotta get it.
And so this documentary is about the film 20 years after it was originally produced. And it goes back and visits with the creators and stars of the movie to see what they're doing today.
What's the name of it?
It's called Best Worst Movie.
Love it.
It's the name of the documentary. And again, Troll 2 is the name of the feature film that they examine in this. So you may want to check that out. It sounds like fun. Paper Man also opens in limited release this weekend, starring Jeff Daniels and Lisa Kudrow. Jeff Daniels plays a struggling novelist who relies on his imaginary friend, the costume superhero Captain Excellent, to help guide him. I am a big Jeff Daniels fan. I just wish he would someday make a movie I would like to see again.
He's a great actor.
He is. And the past, I don't know, dozen or so movies he's made, I've just avoided like the plague. Just had no interest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird.
It is weird, but that's coming out this weekend. Speaking of avoiding like the plague, Kenny Chesney's concert movie, Summer in 3D, is also opening this weekend.
I didn't know they were doing that. They're doing concerts now in movie theaters in 3D. That's cool.
Yes, this is...
not him, but Summer Good.
His latest concert tour, the Sun City Carnival. It was called...
I think he had the highest grossing concert tour of last year. So there's a lot of fans out there for Kenny Chesney.
Not only that, Bean, you'll be interested to know he is the biggest ticket seller in terms of concerts of this century in any musical genre.
How about that?
For the past 10 years, he has been the highest ticket-selling musical act, period.
I would have had no idea that was the case.
I know you guys hate country music,
yes.
But you would find him the least objectionable of many of the major country stars out there. He's actually real talented.
You were wrong there as well. You're wrong in two locations. First of all, saying I would not find it offensive, and second of all, saying he's very talented.
So you say all country music is equally bad then?
There's no way
he could be better than anyone else.
You
okay,
have crystallized my views perfectly, and I appreciate that.
Oh, Jennifer Lopez is back, and she's better than ever. That's what they tell us in the ads for The Backup Plan, her new movie that opens this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, God, my wife is like a fat kid at a bake sale. excitement about this movie. I haven't seen her this pleased in a long, long time. Jennifer Lopez plays a woman who can't find a good man, Kevin, because you know how hard that is.
It really
and
is
she's
difficult.
So ugly.
And she's hideous.
Right.
So what she does is she decides to get artificially inseminated by a sperm donor because she decided it's time for her to raise a child.
Okay.
Well, wouldn't you, gosh darn it, wouldn't you know it, just as soon as she does that, she meets the man of her dreams. After she's already been knocked up by a turkey baster.
Ah, so she's pregnant.
Pregnant
and
now
can't
with
have his
some
kids.
Random kid.
What are the chances?
What is she going to... How is she explaining this to the man that she loves now? Played by Alex O'Loughlin. Or Lachlan, depending on whether he says his name Loughlin or Lachlan.
Sure, how it's pronounced.
Here is a scene from the movie where Stan, played by Alex, removes a tag from Jennifer Lopez's dress in one of the moments where they meet all cute.
Did you buy a new dress for our date tonight?
Don't flatter yourself.
I'll take that as a yes.
I guess you'll never know.
I guess not. Except you left the price tag on.
What?
Allow me. I got it.
You know, I've had this dress for a long time. It's just I haven't worn it yet, so... Why the tag's still on? You're not that special.
Really?
I don't believe her. I think he is special. I think she's crazy about him.
No! No!
But she's got that sperm donor baby inside her.
What's she gonna do?
Can true love survive? Will everything work out at the end? Your guess is as good as mine.
Because you're not gonna go?
Ladies. Because I'm not going. Please enjoy. Oceans opens this weekend. Another Disney film. Remember Disney's Earth?
Yeah, that was great.
Great, great film.
Yes.
This is another Disney nature film, documentary, eco-drama called Oceans. And it is narrated by Pierce Brosnan, former James Bond Pierce Brosnan, which I am so happy because I like him and I like his voice, and that really means a lot because the narrators in these things, you know, can make a breaker film. I can't watch the new nature show on television. What's the one called now?
They're running
Life. Because Oprah Winfrey is narrating it, and she makes me nuts.
I didn't know that. I've been recording it. Didn't know that.
She's hideous.
Oh, no.
Here's a scene from Oceans where Pierce talks about a shrimp and a crab duking it out. And you wouldn't think that'd be interesting, but it's actually quite fascinating.
The mantis shrimp keeps a sharp lookout with a pair of nature's most sophisticated eyes. He doesn't take kindly to trespassers, so if he finds one, look out.
Shrimp actually shoots the crab.
With a gun?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pulls out a gat. Puts a cap in his ass.
I gotta tell you, it may not sound may not sound interesting. These are fascinating.
Yeah, you'll enjoy
it. The photography is great. The animals are unbelievable.
It looks great up on the big screen as well. And The Losers opens this weekend. This is the movie I'm most excited about because, of course, I am the resident
loser
sci-fi. No,
oh.
Well, yeah, but also sci-fi comic book geek on the show. And this movie is based on a popular comic book by Andy Diggle.
Was it a good one? The movie looks great to me.
Comic
I don't
book.
Know the comic.
I really enjoyed the comic book. Great. And this looks like a very faithful adaptation
great.
Of the comic book. Idris Elba? How do you say his name?
I believe it's Idris.
Idris Elba. Thank you, Psycho Mike. Zoe Saldana, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Chris Evans. Great cast. This looks terrific. They are a black ops team, former CIA, who has been targeted for assassination, and now they got to turn on the company and save their lives in the process. Zoe Saldana stars as Aisha in this film, and here's a little clip from The Losers where she's making a narrow escape.
She's got a gun. It's pointed at my... Clay, it's pointed at my... Clay.
Would you rather it was pointed at your face?
I know it makes no sense, but yes.
Better?
Not really.
Where's your gun, Jensen?
In the van.
What's it doing there?
Not much.
What'd you do? Shut up.
Well, what if it was pointed at your...
That's the losers. Chris Evans is a funny dude.
That looked funny to me.
Jeffrey D. Morgan, great. Manly man. So he's out there hot. Looks like a great action-adventure film. I'm looking forward to checking it out this week. And that's my pick. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Congratulations to Sarah Gonzalez from Ucaipa, who just won our grand prize trip to Europe to see Muse. She's going to see them in Germany, in Italy, in France, all over the place. We would call her if our phones worked, and we would tell her ourselves. But congratulations to her, and thank you for listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It is 8:39.
This is the Kevin DeBean Show. Ralph Garman is back today. He's got the Showbiz Beat coming up, and then next hour, Adam Carolla stops by with The Week in Rage. Who the hell is this coming in?
Oh!
What's going on
now? Oh, yeah!
Al Pacino, what are
Kevin
you doing?
Kevin DeBean!
Did we book you? I didn't know we had you booked.
No. No, you don't have to book me. I show up where I'm needed.
Oh.
And what? This is where I'm needed.
Why are you needed here?
Heard you fellas doing your little movie beat.
Right, Ralph. Ralph does the movie.
Talking about the new movies coming out.
Uh-huh. Right.
Notice you ignored my new movie.
You have a movie theater?
A movie?
You don't know Jack. Saturday on HBO.
Well, that's HBO. We talk about movie. Wah. We talk about movies in movie theaters.
HBO. It's right. Not TV. It's HBO.
Right.
Right, but that's not what the movie beat is about. It's about for big screen films. That's what Ralph was talking
this
about.
There's a big on movie on little screen.
Okay.
And I just want to talk about it. Everyone know that. They should watch.
Right, what is You Don't Know Jack?
It's about Jack Kevorkian.
Oh, okay. You play?
Dr. Kevorkian.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The assisted suicide doctor.
Right. That's a Dr. Death. Yeah, they used to call him.
Yeah. If you were sick, he would kill you.
Well, only if you wanted him to.
Sometimes.
I think only
Wah.
If you... Okay.
Now, I play Jack.
Okay.
Kevorkian.
Yeah.
You do look a lot like him from the commercials that I've seen for the show. You really
looks like an elderly woman.
Pretty much, yes.
Time to
Al, did you have any thoughts on assisted suicide before you take this role, or you don't care about all that? You just wanted the paycheck.
No, I agree with assisted suicide.
Okay,
I think more people should be killed.
Well, again, this is a voluntary thing where people are in pain.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and then they say, I don't want to live anymore.
I didn't know you knew so much about assisted suicide.
Well, isn't that accurate?
Why do you keep saying that? You haven't been in that movie for 15 years.
Ooh. But Al, isn't that accurate? Isn't that what assisted suicide? It means they want to die because...
Well, very sick people
who
would like to end the pain.
Right.
And Dr. Jack Kevorkian would do that for him.
Right.
He was an angel.
Right.
And then they sent him to prison for 10 years or something.
Or was
well,
he a devil?
Some That's people say
the
he was.
Question we address in You Don't Know Jack, okay. Premiering Saturday on HBO. It's not TV.
It's HBO. Right. The complaint was that he's playing God. It shouldn't be up to him to decide who lives or dies, right, Al?
Oh, shouldn't it?
Well, that's part of the...
Why are you making all those sounds?
I don't know what those noises mean.
Al?
Are you okay, Al?
Sorry. I had a bran muffin this morning.
Yeah?
Yeah. Man. Just starting to pass through me.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And that's the noise.
So I brought you a clip from my little show.
Oh, you have
thought maybe if you heard a piece, you might be more inclined to tune in this Saturday on HBO. It's not TV.
All right.
It's HBO!
Right. Here's a little clip of You Don't Know Jack.
Say hello to my assisted suicide machine!
Oh. I didn't think...
That's not how he killed people, Al.
I can't remember.
I think it was just an ejection he used. I don't think he actually shot the place up, Al.
Oh, well, we had to dress it up a little bit. HBO!
Right.
It's not TV.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. It's a very happy day for us as we welcome back our friend Ralph Garman after a few terrible weeks, and also very exciting and exhilarating and congratulatory weeks as well, Ralph.
Yes.
But, you were very much missed, and we are very excited to see you here today.
Well, thank you, and again, thanks to all the listeners for all the emails of support and appreciation. I really, really thank you for that. And the update is my daughter Olivia is still in the intensive care unit, but she is stable as she's ever been, and she's hanging in there, and she's getting better, we hope, every day, so I can come back to work.
Please tell me that she looks like your wife.
How dare you, sir?
I'm just saying. Just tell
and
just,
so it begins.
Just promise me.
It's hard to tell at this stage.
Sure.
But I'm saying,
looks
just tell
like,
me.
She looks like a carved apple.
But we're all on the same page with hoping that.
Yes, we're all hoping that she looks more like my lovely wife than myself. Good. I absolutely agree.
Ralph's wife is hot, and he's Ralph. So
how dare you, sir?
Well, I came back. It's good to be home amongst family.
Ralph, I got to be completely honest. We were talking last week how the ultimate revenge on you would be if your daughter grows up to be smoking hot and you have to spend the last half of your life trying to stop guys from having sex with hot chicks.
Oh, that'll happen.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Soon. That's what the cape and the cowl are for.
That's right.
When the boys show up to pick her up on a date, I jump out in the Batman costume. They will not be back, I guarantee
they won't
you.
They won't be scared, but they'll think, your dad's crazy.
Dude's crazy. Little Miss Olivia's doing fine. Thanks for all the emails. Hey, I want to give something away right here because I'm in such a good mood. It is the TiVo Premiere Box. Kevin, you know about this.
I do.
It is the box that has been developed by TiVo that brings together all of the amazing devices in one beautiful package. You get a remote and you get you can download stuff from Netflix right to your television. It's an amazing thing. It is the TiVo Premiere Box, plus you get a 3-month subscription, all of that good stuff. Click on Kevin's TiVo Nality, by the way, at kevinandbean.com if you want to find out more about this amazing device. But if you'd like to get one right now, be caller number 5, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call now, and we're going to give you the brand new TiVo Premiere Box for use with your cable system. And it's an impressive technology, I'll tell you.
I'm not sure it's good for our audience, though, because you can watch YouTube videos on it.
Yeah, YouTube
videos. Who's going to get anything else done?
Netflix.
Really? I mean, if I can watch YouTube videos on my TV, it's over.
Yeah, I may have to pass on this technology. It's too much. I will never get off a couch.
You can't be trusted with it.
I cannot be trusted. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Archie Comics. Bean, you were a big Archie fan growing up, weren't you?
I was. I read it for many, many years. I was a big fan.
They've announced that they're introducing their first gay character to Riverdale.
Oh!
Yeah.
Now Mike's in.
Apparently Kevin Keller is the name, and apparently Veronica comes on to him, and he's got to break the news that she's not his type. He's more of a Jughead man, I guess. But, yeah, give me some of that Jughead.
A Jughead man has good code.
Give me a little Reggie.
This won't surprise you, Ralph, but I was on the Archie Comics message boards yesterday.
Oh, and what's wrong with
this
you?
This is the guy that says, God. I don't have time to do anything. I'm so busy.
Well, this was a big deal. This was exciting news for Archie fans like me. And some of the comments of people about how the publishers of the comic book are promoting filth and sin and how can you do this and leave our kids out of this. And it was unbelievable. And maybe that's why it's good that they're doing it, is because it kind of gets that conversation started again. I don't think we can have that conversation too often.
Don't try and turn this into a serious point. You were on the message boards.
Well, I was, because I was curious to see, what the reaction was. This is a big deal in Riverdale.
Oh, f*** you.
He doesn't have time.
Archie message boards.
Come on.
You guys are with me that Veronica was way hotter than Betty, though, right?
They were the same. They were the same with blonde hair, brown hair. They were the same face, same body, everything.
I know, right. But Veronica, you get the feeling, does stuff. Betty would be like, oh, no, 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 I'm not going to do that. Oh, that's dirty.
She does stuff.
You do. You totally do. Veronica's a goer. Come on.
I was like Moose.
Subtext in the dialogue?
Moose. I was like Moose. I was a Moose man.
Well, the new gay character, Kevin, may have a chance to explore that for you, Ralph.
Right.
Yeah, shut up, dude.
Here's the thing. Archie Comics, I think, are getting taking it in the shorts, no pun intended, when it comes to sales.
Oh.
And so they need to sort of grow up. Because for a long time, it had been sort of the squeaky clean comic book for little kids. Kids aren't really buying comics much anymore. So
I know they had Archie grow up. I think he's getting married to Veronica now or something. They're introducing gay characters. I think they're trying to...
Threesomes and all kinds of violence.
Exactly.
Everything.
Drive-bys.
Yeah, a Jughead cut some dude's throat the other day and a drug deal gone wrong. They're trying to make it grittier. You know, like most comic books. You know?
Tijuana, drug trade.
That's right.
Did you see the special issue where Mr. Weatherby, the principal of Riverdale High, got busted for a meth lab? Oh. It was just right out of Breaking Bad. It was rough, man. Yeah,
they are really getting gritty over there with Archie. All right, let's move on to happier things, shall we? Lindsay Lohan, according to TMZ.com, has been named a suspect in the theft of a $35,000 Rolex watch.
Wait, she's a suspect?
Yes.
She's not the person they stole it from?
No.
Wow.
They suspect she stole a Rolex.
Is this one of those, it was on set? No, she hasn't been on a set in years.
No, but apparently the watch belongs to one of Lindsay's friends, who left it at Lindsay's house but never got it back, and now Lindsay has just kept it.
Wow.
According to the story, sources tell cops that they have photographic evidence which would prove Lindsay knows exactly where the Rolex is, but she will not hand it over. Lindsay's denying any involvement in the theft, but apparently this person is pressing charges, so.
That's weird.
Yeah. You guys watching The Biggest Loser? You ever watch that show over there on NBC?
No. Too many fat people.
Did you catch 30 Rock last night, by the way?
Yes.
Where Alec Baldwin, as the president of NBC, says, NBC, we're the biggest loser network.
That show is getting better every single week.
Biggest Loser trainer Jillian Michaels, who just looks like a bitch.
Agatha Christie.
She is just seems like
Does she
a,
mean? I haven't seen
just
it.
A cranky
I thought she was
kind
of hot.
She is
super muscular.
Sort of a beef jerky kind of dried out way.
Like a Madonna way? No.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, she was doing an interview, of course, that's a smash hit television show. She's getting her own show as well. And talking about having a baby, she said, I'm going to adopt because I can't handle doing that to my body. She is one of the few women who's actually taking our advice about not ruining herself by having babies.
Is there outrage, Ralph? Or are people now complaining
that people are outraged because she's sending the wrong message, saying that, you know, motherhood and pregnancy ruins your body when a lot of pregnant women bounce back very quickly.
They do a lot.
And they look terrific. So
it seems like it would be such a great opportunity for somebody like her who's built a brand out of being able to get anyone in shape to say, hey, if I do gain some weight during pregnancy, I'm going to be able to come right back from that because that's how good I am.
She's got issues, I sense, because she'll famously tell this story about how she was a fat teenager, and I guess the boys didn't want her to touch her hoo-ha.
Right.
So she went into a strict martial arts exercise and diet plan.
To force them to touch
her? That's right. So she could start raping.
Touch me or I'll choke you out.
No, to get herself into shape so that the boys would find her attractive. And so I get the sense that she is, like Psycho Mike, now addicted to this physical regime and cannot fathom the concept of putting on a couple extra pounds because it would just crush her image of herself. All she's got.
Yeah.
So I think...
Plus all those contestants will show up at her home and laugh and point.
Wouldn't that be great?
What about now?
Hey, here you go, fatty.
Hey, gaining weight.
That's right. Before I get to the showbiz birthdays today, I would like to give a shout out to our buddy Charles Connor.
The best security guard ever.
Our
best
security
guy
guard
ever.
Here at the station, who is not only one of the greatest guys we know, and Charles and his family sent me a very nice card, too, by the way, when all this went down. I want to thank him for that. He was the original drummer for Little Richard, legendary rock star Little Richard. Charles was the guy who invented that backbeat.
He's got some stories.
He's got a great book out called Don't Give Up Your Dreams, You Can Be a Winner, Too. He'll be signing copies of that book at the Hollywood Collector Show this weekend, Saturday the 24th and Sunday the 25th. It'll be held at the Burbank Marriott Hotel and Convention Center in Burbank. For more information, you can go to hollywoodshow.com. But go down there and check out Charles and check out his book and say hi because he's a good
guy. That's all. Keep it funky now.
And he will keep it funky.
That's it. He's the best.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Dev Patel is 20 years old today from Slumdog Millionaire. Who wants to be a millionaire? Jamie King is 31 years old today. Wrestler John Cena celebrates his 33rd birthday. Actor Cal Penn is 33. Comedian George Lopez is 49 years old today. Valerie Bertinelli celebrates her 50th. Filmmaker Michael Moore is 56. Anybody see his latest documentary?
I did.
Capitalism, a Love Story. I did not.
I wanted to. I heard it was good.
I did, too. I have not seen it.
But I didn't see it.
Actress Joyce DeWitt from the legendary TV program Three's Company celebrates her 61st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show means Adam Carolla appearing at the Melrose Improv tomorrow night. Get your tickets through adamcarolla.com, a website that I go to frequently throughout the weekend. It seems like, Ace, every time I go to your website, you've added another podcast. How many shows are you producing now under the banner of adamcarolla.com?
10 a day.
Yep. We're up in the Seacrest realm at this point. Because you got the show with your wife that's for parents, right? Sure. And then you got the car cast, which, of course, has been very, very popular for a long time. What else you got? You got there's a new film show you're debuting. Yeah, too, we got right? Bald Brian is doing that. Also, Spider and the Henchman. We got a sports show with John Sally and more to come. It's a network, is what it is. That's what we're trying.
You're an empire.
Empires are compensated with something called money.
Oh, not yet.
And, of course, lots of great guests all the time on the original Adam Carolla podcast, including Cheech and Chong recently, Olivia Munn, so much more. All the information at Adam's website. Going to talk to Alec Baldwin today on
the
show.
Kidding.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
Adam gets better guests than we do. He's not on the radio. He's still kicking our ass.
Does he know who you are?
Yeah, okay. We're dear friends.
Just checking.
He's a huge Loveline fan, actually.
Oh, all right.
Oh,
that's
awesome. What's going on with you today, Adam? Well, I got things to talk about. First, and then we'll get to my week in rage next segment. But I was watching Entertainment Tonight last night, and they were interviewing Sean Kings, Larry King's wife's lover. And he did a sit-down with E.T., and I brought a clip of that. So can we hear that?
Absolutely.
Do you think that the kids knew about your relationship with their mother?
Unfortunately, they did. She let them know that I was in love with her.
She told the kids that flat out?
You know, I never asked for any of this to happen. Understand? And I wish none of this. I wish we'd be talking about something different.
He wishes they'd be talking about something different.
Yeah.
A couple things. The kids. You think the kids are pissed? Like, nobody cheats on my grandfather. What? My dad? No way. I like the conga section. I like the congas playing.
That's good.
Do you dress it up? Need the percussion section from Santana behind you when you do an interview. That's it. But all these a-holes now, first off, I've yelled about this on the show before. All these a-holes that are having these affairs, and then they're going on these press junkets.
Right.
And then when they go on the press junket, they sit there and they go, I wish it hadn't come to this. Really? What happened? We kicked in your front door with a news crew and attacked you when you were on a futon and put a probe up you and forced you to do an interview about being a slut? Or did you call this news conference? I wish we could talk about something else.
Right.
Well, what? You coached a softball team. What do you want to talk about? That's how entertainment shows work. They just go down the street and find guys hitting infield to 9-year-olds and go, hey, can we get an interview?
Hey, how's it going with the infield?
How's it going? Yeah, I really wish. I know. Monica Lewinsky wishes we could talk about her handbags. Sure. You didn't do anything else. You're known for being a slut. This is why we're talking. I wish we weren't here right now. I wish we could be talking about something else.
Yeah.
You don't have to be here. You don't have to be talking about anything. We don't want to talk to you about anything. Stay the F home. What happened to the code?
There's no code.
And it was okay when it was chicks, or bad enough when it was chicks, but now dudes are doing this. Dudes are banging around and then going on Entertainment Tonight. What has it come to?
It's really sad, really pathetic
to see straight dudes engaging in this kind of this is a straight dude. We shouldn't be engaged. You know what we should be doing? We should be fighting or effing or fixing something. Not doing interviews about chicks we nailed.
Yeah,
it's so sad.
I'm with you.
Things are going to be different when Adam's running things, I'll tell you that. Oh, my God. I will put a moratorium on this. First off, no bongos behind interviews. Well, I really wish we could be talking about something else. How would that interview go? Hey, stranger, whose name we never heard before. How's Earth Day going for you?
Tell us a little something about yourself.
Yeah, what are you, Virgo? I wouldn't have guessed that. You can see Adam Carolla on stage at the Melrose Improv tomorrow night. Details on everything going on the Ace Empire at adamcarolla.com. A quick break, then the Week in Rage right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Adam Carolla always stops by, adamcarolla.com, with a big show on stage at the Melrose Improv tomorrow night. If you don't go to the live shows, by the way, you can always hear them at the website and get them on iTunes. And I see that you're hitting the road also, Ace. You're going up to San Francisco, coming to my town, Seattle, in May. Come on.
You're not here in the studio?
Where the hell is
he? He's never been here since you've been here.
What the F? Are we going to hang out? We're going to hang out, Adam, when you get up here like we do? Hold on. I've just been running past Studio C on my way out every time, yeah. And Bean hasn't even been in there.
Not once.
Oh, you're trying to avoid me. Idiot. I'm doing shoulder rolls. Wow.
Doing one the marine time, crawl under the window.
I held up a ficus plant and ran across it. I thought Bean was in C.
It's a waste of energy.
Adam goes to Great Lakes to avoid me, as many of my colleagues do.
All right. It is Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to come up and hang around the menagerie and shovel goat poop with you in Seattle. Sure.
Hey, when I lived in California way, way, way back in the day, I believe Adam helped build one of my barns back in the day. I think he came out for a barn raising, if I'm not mistaken.
I built you a CD rack that held 10,000 CDs.
You did.
Remember that?
Wow. Adam also put in my doggy door in a house many, many years ago. So.
And that's
remember
where
that?
That's where the famous quote came, where you said to me, I never quite finished a CD rack, and you said, you're one of those 95% guys who never finishes. And I said, nope, Bean, I'm a 75%er who just gave you an extra 20%.
That's a better way of looking
at it. That's the way you have to answer that question when people come on the show.
All right, it's Friday. Adam Carolla is here. Time for the Week in Rage.
It's time for this week
in Rage.
Well, all week people have been complaining about this Spirit Airline BS because they want to charge for carry-on bags, and everyone's like so outraged. Their carry-on panties are in a bunch. Oh, they want to charge
But they want to charge you $45 to put a carry-on over your head.
Right, but I went online last night, and you know how much? On Tuesday, I can get a ticket to New York on Spirit Airlines for $137. That's right. Cheaper than a bus ticket, cheaper than a donkey. So add the $40 to the $137, and you're still under $200 versus flying Virgin or American or United, where it's $400. So just do the goddamn math.
Did you check if the $137 included a pilot?
It does
because
not.
Because I'm not sure.
Carry on, pilot. The point is this. Chuck Schumer, the senator in New York, is going, this is an attack against the people. Look, it's just about weight, pure and simple. If Kevin Smith's fat ass is next to you in a seat, you are paying for his fat ass because jet fuel costs money, and it's all about how much the plane has it and how much weight. So skinny people who don't carry anything have been getting ripped off all these years because we have to subsidize fat people with Samsonite. Charge by the weight. That's it. It'd be like one of those fancy salad bars at the Whole Foods where you get a bunch of salad and they weigh it at the end.
Every person has to step on a scale.
Wow. And by the way, that'll keep people from getting so goddamn fat in this country because it'll be a shaming process. Step on a scale, we'll charge you by the pound. That's it. How can you argue with that? We're subsidizing fat ass with the Samsonite as it is now. Yeah. And, by the way, as far as the government goes, they don't need to get involved with this. I can open a restaurant and I can charge $1,000 for toothpicks. And Chuck Schumer can get PO'd about it, but who cares? Don't go into my restaurant then. All right. It's not the government's business.
All right.
Let Spirit do what they want. Thank you.
I hear you. I'm with that.
Are you?
Yeah.
Everyone's PO'd about it. Don't fly their airline then. All right. Where was I?
There is that option that I forgot I had.
Speaking of fat, pass the billboard for Girl Scout cookies. They had one that says, if you want Girl Scout cookies, you can text. And I thought, wow, man, how hungry, stoned, and desperate must you be to pull over and text for some Girl Scout cookies? And then I thought, these are no longer Girl Scouts, because they're not scouting anymore. They got to change the name. The girl part they got, the scout part, what's going on? Are they in the Dominican Republic scouting Major League prospects? Are they a couple miles out in front of the wagon train like Flint McCoy looking for engines? Like, what are they scouting?
It does seem like the Girl Scouts are now a fundraising organization, doesn't it?
They're cookie whores. Girl cookie whores.
But they're young, so you don't really want to call them whores.
Well, they're scouting out saps who are going to buy a case of their crappy cookies.
That's
I'm
true.
Just saying, no longer are they doing any scouting.
Okay.
I want to remove the word scout.
What do you want it to be called?
Cookie whore.
All right.
Fat cookie whore. And by the way, worst Sesame Street character there is, the fat cookie whore. Can I say this, too? Aren't we fat enough? Shouldn't they be selling something like cigarettes or carrot sticks, or how about keychains with those little globes on them? Everyone loves the keychain with the little globe on. I'm just, just saying, the idea that we're morbidly obese as a nation and we've deputized a bunch of cookie whores to go push these things all over the country and make us that much fatter, I just don't like the message of it. Let's get them back up to Mount Pinos and have them start a goddamn fire with no matches.
There you go.
What happened to that? Where was I?
I don't remember.
Oh, Earth Day. What was that, yesterday?
Yes.
I don't like all these days.
You don't like
I don't
Earth
like
Day.
Earth Day. I don't like the smoke out days. I don't like, you know, don't eat a cow day. I don't like Black History Month. I don't like any of this stuff because I never do anything except for feel bad. I never do anything. I never plant a tree. I never hug a black guy. I never put down a hamburger. I never do anything during these days.
Maybe you should try that.
Yeah, but what? What do I do? And then what if I get confused? Like it's Earth Day and I mistake it for Black History Month, so I try to hug it out with a brother. Or I get more confused. I try to plant a black guy and water him or something. I don't know what to do during these holidays, and nobody knows what to do, and we never do anything. And then some a-hole goes, you know what? Every day should be Earth Day. And then you just want to hit that guy with a folding chair. I don't like this Earth Day business.
Okay.
I'll tell you one thing you can do, actually.
What can you do?
Methane is bad for the ozone. No farting for one day.
What?
Wouldn't that kill you?
Good luck.
Wouldn't that kill you in particular?
It would kill my spirit, but I think physically I could survive.
I'm questioning that.
Really?
Yeah, I think it would kill you physically.
You know, maybe if I stayed away from the pinto beans and the diet soda. I'm just saying everyone knows what's going on. We're hit over the head with all this green BS as it is. We know it's Earth Day every day, or we have to hear it from Courtney Cox. Let's just skip it. I don't do anything. Or give me something specific. Like, tell me, do this or don't do that. That's all I want. Don't take a shower this day. That's all. Well, it's Earth Day. Something specific. I need guidance.
What, are you retarded?
Yes. How dare you? You can't use that word.
You just came up with two things on your own that you could do.
All right. No farting and no shower.
All right. There you go.
There you go.
All right. Adam Carolla on stage at the Melrose Improv tomorrow night. Do not miss it. And you can catch up with all the things going on in Aces World at adamcarolla.com. Have a great weekend, dude. We'll see you soon.
Support from a lot of the listeners, and I really want to just to say a quick thank you and to let you know I read each and every one of them, and they really helped me out in a very difficult time in my life, and so I am very appreciative. So I just wanted to.
You're a homo.
Oh my God!
Welcome back. There's that too.
Welcome back.
And I want to thank you guys for all the support as well for letting me kind of run off and do what I had to do, and covering for me and picking up the slack and welcoming me back. So it's all been good.
And I'll tell you, Ralph, the numbers of people that would stop by the office that were trying to find anything they could do that.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
Incredible. Everyone here at the station and across the country. And I'll tell you, I've gotten emails from listeners in Ireland and Sweden. I mean, from around the world, people have been touching base with me. And it has been so heartwarming, and I have really been touched, and it really has made a big, big difference, not only in getting through the past month, which has been hard, but in my life in general. So I just want to thank everybody. And I'll tell you something, you feel so alone in a moment like what my wife and I have gone through. And then we heard from so many parents who are listeners who also have lost children, or who have children who are sick. And for these people to be able to break through their own pain and their own grief in order to reach out to someone else, it really is a tribute to the kind of people we have listening to our show. And it really has made a big, big difference in my life. And I do want to thank everyone. It really was quite remarkable. You're all right, people. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
That's high praise from Ralph.
Rachel Uchitel.
Yeah.
You know, the alpha whore of Tiger Woods' pack of mistresses.
The hot one.
Yes. She has been dancing in Vegas.
All right.
Apparently, and is trying to angle for a gig on the next season of Dancing with the Stars. That's where her goals lie.
When you say dancing in Vegas, I think Spearmint Rhino. That's not what you're talking about?
No, she hasn't been on a pole.
I thought that's what you were talking about.
No, she's been dancing in like reviews and things like that, trying to get her chops up so that she can be do a gig on Dancing with the Stars, which I don't think they would ever pick her.
Because never.
They've got a pretty low threshold of celebrity-dom for who they ask to be on that show, but I think she falls beneath even that. However, she is shopping around her own, of course, wait for it, reality show.
Sure.
Called Romancing Rachel, where she tries to find true love.
And with married men?
With other women's husbands. apparently, Lifetime and E! Have already passed on it, but her agent is working with Oxygen and VH1. And as of yet, they have not given their final answer. Mm. Look, VH1 will put anything on, right?
Right.
Got to pick.
You know, they canceled. Have you heard the VH1 redesign? They're not running any of those shows. They canceled all those I Love Monies and all those kinds of shows. They don't have any of them anymore. They're starting from scratch with a new network, getting away from all of that kind of. After that contestant killed his girlfriend, I think they started to kind of revisit the kinds of people they were putting on their network. And now there's no more Flava Flav.
What?
Because he could kill at any time.
You don't take Flava Flav off your network. Come on.
But this Rachel Uchitel, isn't she the one who got either $5 or $10 million, depending on who you believe, to go away and not talk about Tiger anymore?
To not talk about Tiger, yeah, but she's trying to parlay her 15 minutes into her own fame. So
she's got enough money. She should just go away, period.
No, she wants people to look at her.
Wait, is she hot?
Yeah, she's way hot.
Yeah, let's keep her around. What's wrong with you people?
John Gosselin shopping around his own reality show.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Apparently, he's got a new girlfriend. No word on her identity, but word is from MSNBC that she is in her 40s and apparently quite wealthy. Word is he is cozying up to her, trying to get her to fund his many entertainment projects, one of which is his own reality show. He apparently is quite ticked off that his ex-wife, Kate Gosselin, has her own show in the works, but he has gotten the shaft from TLC, so he's trying to develop his own project.
He should just wait that out. She's so hateable. She will be on that show for a minute, and it'll be canceled.
John's reality show apparently is tentatively called Octotool, where he runs around wearing Affliction t-shirts, not raising his 8 children.
Yeah.
Douchebag. Octotool. DJ AM is sadly no longer with us, but we'll get a chance to see him at least briefly in the next Iron Man film, Iron Man 2. Director Jon Favreau says that DJ AM plays the DJ at a party thrown by Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark.
No kidding.
And he's even got a line where he says, "Adam, I need a fat beat." Rather than chop the footage out of the movie, Jon Favreau said he asked Adam's family if he could keep it in as a tribute to Adam, and they said okay. So he'll be in the film, and the end credits will also include a dedication to DJ AM, so that's pretty cool. And in more movie news, pretty good day for first day of sales for Avatar this week. The 2D version of the movie, of course, TVs for the most part aren't made for 3D yet, so you can't really see that. But the 2D version of Avatar on DVD and Blu-ray has sold 4 million copies.
Thank God. Maybe they'll get some of their money back for that movie.
Yeah, finally can make a buck. Poor James Cameron. 1.5 million copies in Blu-ray, another 2.5 million in DVDs. And so that's just the first couple of days of its release. So they're expecting it to be the highest selling DVD of this year, if not ever. So we'll have to wait and see. So far, New Moon is still the best selling disc this year. So we'll see if it surpasses that or not. And speaking of 3D, Paramount Pictures says they're going to convert M. Night Shyamalan's new film, The Last Airbender, to 3D as well. Daily Variety says the conversion will run between $5 and $10 million for Paramount, who hopes they can get someone to come see an M. Night Shyamalan movie by putting it in 3D.
Buzz on this trick pony, wasn't he?
Buzz on this thing is horrific, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, they're saying it's horrible.
Because the kids' cartoon was pretty good.
Yeah, and he's ruined that.
Hmm.
And another 3D movie, Daily Variety has announced that The Green Hornet will now be converted into a 3D film. Seth Rogen, of course, stars as the superhero. Sony Pictures had it set for a release date of December 22nd to take advantage of the Christmas holiday. Now it's been moved to the slower Martin Luther King weekend of January the 12th, and hopes maybe the competition won't be quite so stiff, and perhaps more people will go to see The Green
Hornet.
Stand
out a little bit more?
Yeah, so
that makes sense.
Though I can't imagine, I don't know. I mean, some movies you think lend themselves to 3D.
Right.
I don't know if The Green Hornet is one of those movies or not. But look, it's a way to make a buck.
Special effects.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Joyce DeWitt.
Yeah, all right.
She played Janet on the legendary TV series Three's Company.
Three's Company.
She's still with us. John Ritter, dead for years.
Yes, that shows you how life is very unfair. She's 61 years old. Speaking of old TV series and reunions, this weekend is one of my favorite events of the year, the TV Land Awards. where the TV Land network gets together and they give out awards to old TV shows and new TV shows and everything
else.
Yeah, but the thing that interests me this year is that they're giving out a Lifetime Achievement Award to the 80s sitcom Bosom Buddies. Do you remember Bosom Buddies?
All I remember is that Tom Hanks was in it. That's
and Peter Scolari played two broke guys who, in order to afford living in an all-woman's hotel, used to dress up like women and pretend to be women.
Right.
Because it was cheap to live at this apartment building, but only women were allowed to live there.
So very realistic premise.
They would pretend to be women. And it was funny. I always enjoyed it, but it was Tom Hanks' sort of first big break. And everyone thinks he wants to put that behind him and not acknowledge that on his resume anymore. He's going to be at the reunion of the cast of Bosom Buddies this weekend on TV Land, so you can check that out.
As unbelievable as he is, a double Oscar winner, by all accounts, the nicest guy in the world, he's so self-deprecating on top of it, too. I mean, he just seems like he's just rolling and having a great time and poking fun at himself, and it just makes him even cooler than he already was.
The LA Times asked him about getting back together with that cast. He said, I had a great time with these people. I think we did some pretty good shows. I absolutely want to reunite with these guys, so... pretty cool. Filmmaker Michael Moore. That's quite the tongue twister.
Yeah.
He is 56 years old today. Actress Valerie Bertinelli is 50. Comedian TV host George Lopez is 49 years old today. Really, seriously inexplicable that he has the success that he has.
Yeah.
You got to watch his TV show. You won't believe it.
I don't want to.
You have to watch it.
But I don't want to.
But you have to. You have to do a lot of things in this life.
I have time for Kimmel. That's it.
There are a lot of things you need to do in this life that you don't want to do, and this is one of them. It's like going to the dentist.
Is he on the Jimmy Kimmel show?
He is not on the Jimmy Kimmel show.
I'm not going to watch it.
Cal Penn is 33 years old today. Wrestler John Cena turns 33 as well. Actress model Jamie King is 31. She's a good-looking broad.
She is.
And actor Dev Patel.
Hey.
Who was the star of Slumdog Millionaire? He celebrates his 20th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, again, thanks. Great to have you back.
Thanks, it's fellas. Really it is back. Good to be back, I'm telling you.
Monday morning, an all-new program. We're going to give away tickets for Iron Man 2, the movie premiere. We've got that.
Oh, so good.
We have Brian Posehn on the show talking about fart and wiener jokes.
So big.
And he's on the Sarah Silverman Show. We have Matt Money Smith on the program on Monday. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Oh, so careful. Entertaining.
Okay. And in studio, Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park.
Hi!
Talking about Linkin Park and about his new video game. So that's all on Monday morning show. We will see you then. Have a great weekend, everybody. Could have timed that better.
No, it's good.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Let it breathe.
Pass it over to me.
We've got Snooki.
No!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Kevin, are you on crack?
Nope.
Roll another one.
The plane, the plane!
Just like the other one.
Good morning, Vagina.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
Wow! Our 1,000th vagina joke. Gosh, where do I start? I guess I'd like to thank vaginas everywhere. They're creepy, and I don't know what they're for, but boy, are they funny.
Roll another one.
When life throws you a curveball, lemonade.
Just like the other one.
What you talking about, Wallace?
This one seems to be about to end.
Are you gay?
I don't have another sin.
Finish this sentence for me. Kanye West is
black.
Jacksonville, Illinois. Hello.
Just pass it around.
People of one note.
Should we turn it off now?
Well, that depends what's on.
What now?
Nothing good.
Is that it?
Yes, it's over. How'd you like it?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Well, you didn't miss much.
It will stop. It will stop! Stop! I swear to God, y'all are just it. I'm done with y'all. You know what? You are the reason our world has so much pain.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.